is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. McCoy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there, happy Thursday. Welcome to One Bills Drive. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you live from our One Buffalo studio. As home game approaches, you can feel it in the air, Donald. A little bit quicker pace for everybody today.
Yeah, it's Thursday. We've gotten over hump day. Right, that's like the biggest hurdle in the week, to just get over hump day. Once you get over hump day, you can start to feel it. I'm sure by tomorrow you'll see the RV lot full, and it's time to go.
The weeks just fly. They just fly.
I'm telling you, it's about to be Thanksgiving in 2 weeks. I feel like we were just down at St. John's Fisher.
Yeah,
you know, and it's about to be Thanksgiving in 2 weeks, and it's like, man, and all of a sudden it's going to be, you know, Black Friday shopping and getting ready for Christmas. And the season is over at that point.
They fly. And we're into game 9 for the Bills, week 10 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Just an awful lot going on, including practice, which is going on right now outside the AdPro Sports Training Center in the sunshine for now here at Orchard Park. Our man Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, standing by at outside of practice. Chris, how's it looking out there today? Another beautiful day in OP.
Sunny day, a little bit more of a breeze out here. You know, and as far as practice goes, no Cordy Glenn, no Zay Jones again here on Thursday. Charles Clay is out here practicing for a second straight day, and I believe E.J. Gaines is out here as well. So that's certainly good news for those two guys in their bid to return from injury.
We did not talk much yesterday about Kelvin Benjamin, but tell me how he has looked in practice so far, how he seems to be fitting into what they're doing on offense. What have you seen out there, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot. You know, we only get about 15 minutes, but it was interesting. I talked to him after practice yesterday, and he basically said to me, I was a little nervous yesterday in his first full practice, I should say, because he did practice on Monday with the team, but said he was a little nervous. They worked him in slowly. They didn't, you know, I'm sure you've seen from back in training camp, you know, they go into this impromptu two-minute segment right at the start of practice to get everybody locked in and focused. And when the offense came out against the first-team defense, with whatever scenario coach puts them in, Benjamin was not in the starting lineup. And I think that was done on purpose. I think they want to ease him in to the setting and not put too much on his plate too soon. That doesn't mean they're not going to use him on Sunday. Obviously, he's going to play in the game. But I'm not convinced that this is a guy that's ready, you know, to play 65, 70 plays. He might only play 40 or 45. Maybe there's only a package of stuff that he can absorb and handle, and so maybe he only plays 45 snaps. And if you look at the snaps across the board for the receivers for Buffalo this season, I mean, the guys that typically play the most are Jordan Matthews, the last couple of weeks, Deontay Thompson, and these guys, you know, even having a better handle on the offense, only go 55 to 59 plays. So I think something a little bit under that is likely for Benjamin on Sunday.
Hey, Chris, do you see them, and you're around the field all the time in practice, so do you see he and Tyrod kind of working on different routes by themselves, like something that kind of sticks out to you?
That's after practice when that happens. The practice is too tight in the way that these coaches run it. For them to do a whole lot off on the side unless there's a special team segment, and I didn't see that yesterday. So I know they've talked a lot. They've done some work after practice, you know, about what Kelvin likes, where he likes the ball, what some of his more comfortable routes are in terms of, you know, running and executing and getting consistent separation. And Coach Dennison's been a part of that as well. But again, going back to the conversation I had with him in the locker room after practice yesterday, you know, after telling me he was nervous, he said, you know, as much as these guys told me, don't try to do too much, just try to be yourself, and that'll be enough. He said, you know, I caught the first pass that got thrown to me in team, and then I tried to make a couple of moves and get some extra yards, and I got stripped of the ball. So, you know, he's like, that was kind of a lesson for me to listen to what these guys are telling me, which is don't try to do too much. You don't need to make a big first impression on us. Just do your job. I guess be 1/11th, and that'll be enough.
What's that guy got to be nervous about, Chris? I don't get that. What's he nervous about?
Well, you know, he's in a new environment. He hasn't proven himself to these guys. He hasn't helped them win a game. And, you know, the pressure is on, especially when you come in with, you know, his kind of production in the NFL, his pedigree, so to speak. It's probably not unlike when he came in as a first-round pick for Carolina. So, you know, it's a guy that wants – and I think that's a good thing. I'm glad he's nervous because that means it matters to him. He wants to make a difference for this team. So I think it's a good thing that he's nervous.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. On the practice field, the Bills out there right now in the beginning stages of practice. Well, you mentioned about the number of snaps that Benjamin may or may not get. How do you see them rationing out those snaps at the wide receiver spot, Chris? You know, now it's the second straight day. You said Zay Jones not out there today, so I think that would make things a little bit easier. But how do you see them lining up and maybe, you know, portioning out those snaps at wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the X. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, you know, he'll be the guy on the left side of the formation. But I expect him to be out there on rundowns too, though. I mean, you want somebody that can block downfield in the run game, there's your guy. I mean, he's going to drive cornerbacks off the ball 10, 15 yards if he wants to lock on and stay there. You know, so I think he'll be out there for run game snaps. Obviously, third down, he's a no-brainer. And in red zone. So, you know, where that goes, I think, is going to be largely predicated on how well the offense can stay on the field on Sunday.
Hey, Chris, I want to flip it back to the defensive side of the ball and the defensive backfield and E.J. Gaines. I think you said he's out there on the field. How's he looking?
Yeah, they're on the far side. I'm having trouble just determining who's who out there, especially when Sharice Wright and E.J. Gaines both roll up their jerseys. So you can't tell who's 20 and who's 28 because you're only seeing the top half of the numbers. And I'm going to tell you right now, my eyes aren't good enough to read names on the backs of jerseys. So it's really tough for me to tell. I'm going to try to take a look over there after I'm done with you guys.
Welcome to the world of play-by-play, Chris. Now you know what I do every Sunday, trying to figure out who's who. At least they don't tuck those jerseys up.
Yeah, that's
on
what
Sunday.
Binoculars are for.
Chris Brown is on the field as we watch and listen to the report from the Bills practice field. Second straight day of no Cordy Glenn with the foot and ankle. Did not practice yesterday. I guess that means it's leaning towards Deion Dawkins at this point, I would think, Chris, huh?
Yeah, so that would be his fourth start. And I talked to him in the locker room yesterday knowing, you know, this was a possibility. And you know, the question I asked him was, how much more prepared, you know, do you feel now than you did at the beginning of the season? You know, when he had to step in pretty early there and make three starts. And he said, yeah, he goes, even the guys in this locker room treat me like just a guy, not a rookie. And I said, is just a guy good? He goes, well, it's better than being treated like a rookie. So I think he feels like he's kind of getting a handle on things. It, you know, his eyes aren't as big as saucers anymore, no matter who's lining up across from him. I think he has a firm grasp of, you know, what his responsibilities and assignments are. I think at this point, it's just a matter of, you know, consistent technique. You know, people look at the Saints roster and they say, ah, well, he's going against some guy named Alex Okafor. Okafor has been a pretty productive player for them. I think he's fourth in tackles, second in sacks, second in tackles for loss, and I think he's second in quarterback hits behind only Cameron Jordan. So, he's doing a pretty good job coming off that right side for them. So I think it's going to be a nice firm test for Dawkins should he need to start this week.
Hey, Chris, what's your thoughts overall on this Saints roster and what they're able to do defensively and offensively?
Well, I think the story this year is how much their defense has improved. And, you know, you look no further than the drafts for them, the last three drafts for the Saints. 14 of their 21 picks were devoted to the defensive side of the ball. So you got some players back there now. You know, in the secondary, Von Bell and Marshawn Lattimore is having a giant rookie season this year for them, and he's just basically locking down the number one receiver on the other team every week. You know, and I think they've added speed to that side of the ball, which was something that was sorely lacking for them, particularly in the front seven outside of Cameron Jordan. So they've invested with draft choices in making that defense better instead of, you know, buying high-priced free agents. And it's proved to pay off for them. And then on offense, I think the biggest difference maker has been the rookie running back, Kamara. This is a guy that is so dynamic in the screen game for them. It's kind of harkening back memories of Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles when they were the featured guy in the screen game. And it seems like Drew Brees knows just when to turn to that, or Sean Payton, whoever you want to credit with that. So those guys are some of the new difference makers for them as far as offense and defense goes, respectively. And Kamara, they'll even line up in the slot and run him out of there as a receiver. He's the second leading receiver on the team behind Michael Thomas. So those are the guys that have really kind of helped change the fortunes for the Saints after a few bad years, due mainly in part to the fact that they couldn't stop anybody and had to win games 38-35 every week.
Hey, Chris, what's your sense of maybe the urgency for a bounce-back game, especially for the Bills' offensive line against that New Orleans defense you just talked about? They did not distinguish themselves a week ago today in the Meadowlands. What do you think? Do you get the sense that these guys feel like they have to bounce back?
Well, I mean, that was a question that was posed to a lot of them yesterday in the locker room. And, yeah, I mean, I think they don't want that game to define them in any way, shape, or form. You know, it was a stinker all the way around. And the last thing you want to do is let that repeat itself. I think getting away for the weekend was probably the best thing. It helped them flush it, get away from football, and then come back refocused and fresh to just focus on the next assignment, which is the Saints. And I think these linemen, like I mentioned yesterday, they were out here early working on different things, cut blocks Wednesday. Today they were out here as a unit again 15 minutes before the rest of the team working on extra parts of their game. So I think they've taken it upon themselves to kind of set the tone for the offense and be far more effective than they were last Thursday night when they were just flat out embarrassed on national television.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, out on the practice field as the Bills get ready to go up against the New Orleans Saints. Chris, anything to be made of the Saints playing outdoors in Orchard Park? The weather for Sunday going to be about a high of 45. Cloudy skies, might not be quite as breezy as it appears to be out there today, but you know, they are a dome team, and they've won a lot of games in the dome. They won six straight this year already, but what do you think? Is that much of an edge for the Bills going into this one?
The only reason I don't think it might be as much of an edge as it's been in the past is because the Saints are pretty good at running the football. I know they're in the top 12 in the league, or top 15 in the league in running the football, and they're getting over 100 yards there. So, you know, I think if they need to turn to the run game, you know, that's something that they can do. They're not completely reliant on Drew Brees, maybe nearly as much as they have been in recent years. So I think having that balance, better balance than they've had in recent years, could certainly go a long way for them and at least reduce the outdoor element, you know, that it will present here this weekend, you know, with the temperatures going to be in the low 40s and some overcast skies, and who knows what kind of wind we'll have, but we'll have to wait and see on Sunday.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com on the field as the Bills get started with their Thursday practice. Chris out there for the stretch portion of practice today. The forecast for Sunday, cloudy skies, rather cloudy, the forecast says, with a high of 45. Winds are going to be light, 6 miles per hour. It just sounded like it was much breezier than that. Out there, didn't it?
It definitely, I think it's something that we have to pay attention to as the Saints come into town. I think it affected the Raiders, and I think it can affect the Saints. You know, they're not used to playing in this type of weather. They don't have games like this in this type of weather that often. You know, be playing in that NFC South, and it's usually a little bit warmer. They're inside, or it's just warmer outside because they're down south. So that's going to be something that will be interesting to watch. Watching that Packers game, watching them, you know, muff some punts and different things like that, that's something that might play in, you know, come into effect in the game. We were talking about Kelvin Benjamin, though, and you asked Chris, what's he have to be nervous? You know, you are nervous. I don't care who you are as a player. You could be a future Hall of Famer. If you go to another team, you're going to be nervous because you know everybody's looking at you. It's a new environment. You don't really know too many guys, even though he knows the coach, even though he knows a few guys on the team. It's still like, I don't know the rest of these guys. I don't know, you know, what to say. I don't know how these guys might react if I joke around or something like that. You're kind of on pins and needles for a little while.
He doesn't have time to be nervous. They need him. They need him now. They need him Sunday right away.
He's not going to be nervous when he gets on the field where that's going to affect him. But just, you know, being around the building, you know, and being in practice, he's a little bit nervous. Once he gets out there on the field on Sunday, it's like, all right, here we go. He should be – because you're in your element at that point. You know, you're not thinking about what fans are thinking, what your teammates are thinking. You're just going out there, let me go out here and ball out like I've been doing down in Carolina.
Well, that's what they need. That's why they have them. Hey, we're just getting started here. Our thanks to Chris Brown for joining us outside at the Bills practice. We've got a good show planned for you this Thursday. Sunday's game, by the way, we gave you the weather. Going to be high 45, cloudy skies. Terry McCauley is the referee on Sunday. Does that mean anything?
Nothing.
Did you ever look when you were playing? Like, who's the referee this week?
I never looked. You don't care? There were times where Ed Hockley was the ref, and we knew, because I swear they're like the highest flags thrown. That crew just throws the most flags. It's like they're throwing socks, underwear, everything.
Let me tell you something. I watched last night the first half of the Saints game in London. They played the Dolphins back on October 1st, and I just watched the first half, frankly, because Ed Hockley and his crew ruined it. I mean, they called everything. Donald, there was one stretch when they probably had seven penalty flags thrown on seven continuous plays.
I mean,
ruined the game.
What does he say?
Like, I don't know.
Does he go into the game saying, look, I want us to be the, like, call it the tightest. I want that to be our reputation. What is that?
It drove me right away from the game last night. I don't think I can go back to that game. I'll have to watch some other – I was deliberately watching the Saints and the Dolphins from October 1st last night, first half. It was a London game. It was 9:30 in the morning. He ruined the game. Ed Hockley ruined the game.
Just I wonder if
every play.
If the league looks at his crew and then they look at the ratings of the games that his crew calls and see if it affects the ratings.
Awful.
Because I'm sure, I mean, obviously, the fans of that game, you know, you're going to watch because you're watching your team. But if you're, let's just say it's like a Monday night game or something like that, and he's calling, he's just throwing flags left and right, you're like, you know what? I'm tired of seeing
this.
I'm
done.
Yeah.
I think I would avoid games that he does, or at least be on alert to be ready to bail. Anyway, he's not doing the game this week. Terry McCauley is. So, you know, whatever. I don't have any opinions on Terry McCauley. On the show today, we're here until 3 talking about the Bills and the Saints, the Bills at midseason, with a good guest lineup coming up. At the bottom of this hour, Kimberly Jones from NFL Network is here. She's here to cover the Bills. She'll be here in studio at 12:30. Good friend of the show. She has been for several years. Kim Jones was at the Meadowlands last Thursday, a week ago today, for that terrible Bills loss. She also covers the Giants, and there's a lot to talk about around the New York Giants. She spent some time covering the Philadelphia Eagles this year as well, obviously the team that a lot of people like. So Kimberly Jones going to join us in studio at 12:30. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Reuben Brown, right? Reuben's coming in.
Reuben.
Yep, Reuben Brown will be with us at 1 o'clock today.
It's kind of cold. I wonder if he's on his bike.
I think the bike days might be over for Reuben.
You never know with Reuben. You know, he might find some leather that's thick enough to come out here. It doesn't really matter. You hear that thing rumbling.
I hope we hear that. Reuben will be here at 1 o'clock. Coming up at 1:30, this is a blast from the past. This guy's coming back to be the leader of the charge on Sunday. He will wave the flag and bring the Bills out of the field Sunday when they take the field against New Orleans. Antoine Smith, who played a little bit with the Saints, but was a first-round draft pick of the Bills in the late 90s. A big, sturdy running back, won a couple of Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. Antoine Smith will be with us on the line at 1:30 today. After practice, Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier joins us to talk about the Bills defense, where they are at. And in particular, we'll get into that first four-game segment, the last four-game segment, and the difference in what the Bills are doing defensively. And coming up at 2:30, what are we calling it? Donald's matchup breakdown. This guy going to break down some of the Saints stuff for us and take a deep dive into some of the stuff. You're going to look at the Saints' high-powered offense, right? Second-ranked offense in the NFL.
Second-ranked offense in the league. Drew Brees is looking like Drew Brees. He's looking like 30-year-old Drew Brees and not 38-year-old Drew Brees. But he has some weapons, you know. Ted Ginn is playing well. That dude is still fast, still blazing fast. I remember him in high school, you know. We went to a camp together, and it was all of these kids from Glenville in Cleveland, Ohio. Then his dad was the coach, and they had a pipeline going to Ohio State. And Ted Ginn had the big name. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's still blazing. I watched him run a 40, and it was like, yo, who is that dude?
Yeah.
You know, and now he's still that fast. They have Thomas on the other side, Kamara, Ingram. They have some weapons, and he's getting them all the ball.
Donald will break all that down at 2:30 on Donald's matchup breakdown. So a lot of ground to cover today, and we want to involve you as well. The phone lines are open. Want to get you thinking about this Bills-Saints game. It really is one of the marquee matchups on the NFL schedule this week. no matter how you cut it, it's one of the games that's going to get people's attention. That's why, you know, people like Kim Jones from NFL Network are here. There's a reporter here from MMQB. It's a big game. It's a couple of, you know, 5-3 Bills team and a 6-2 Saints team. Mm-hmm. It is a big game. We want to get you thinking about it. What's the best way for the Bills to handle the Saints on Sunday? That's our Twitter poll. You can weigh in on Twitter. What is the best way for the Buffalo Bills to try to handle the Saints? On Twitter, we've already got about 1,000 votes cast. And right now on Twitter, 55% of you say, get takeaways. Get the takeaways they were getting for that long stretch, that five-game stretch. Came up empty in the takeaway department last Thursday against the Jets. You would think that would be key. I would as well. That would be my key. 55% of you say the best way for the Bills to handle the Saints is to get takeaways. 34% of you say, slow down Drew Brees, whatever that means to you. 7% say, try to match points with the Saints. All right, that sounds a little dicey to me. 4% have something else in mind. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What is the best way for the Buffalo Bills to handle the Saints? Donald, do you like any of those, or you got something else in mind?
No, I have two of the ones that are up there. First of all, you got to slow down Drew Brees in that offense. You have to slow them down, and you're going to have to score points. You know, and I'm not saying you need to get into a shootout with them at all, but I do think you need to slow them down, but you still need to score points on offense. If you get turnovers – you got to score touchdowns off. This is not one of those games where you want to, you know, have a bunch of drives where you're just getting field goals. Now, if your defense is playing lights out, you know, okay, then that's all good. But Drew Brees is one of those quarterbacks that you give him the ball in the fourth quarter, he can make something crazy happen, you know, and they have so many weapons that they can score from any part of the field. It doesn't really matter. They're unconventional in the way they do things. They throw bombs on first and 10 from different parts of the field that is not conventional. So you need to slow them down. And the way you slow them down is keep the ball on offense, you know, run the ball consistently, long drives, and score points, score touchdowns, and not just field goals.
A couple of folks on Twitter apparently confused by the Twitter question, say match points. Is that a tennis term? No, it's not tennis. I mean, do you get in a shootout with them? Right.
Right.
And I think that's a bad strategy. I think it'd be a real bad strategy to think, okay, they score, we score, they score, we score. I don't know if we're set up to do that.
I don't think this all – now, I could be totally wrong now with Clay and Kelvin Benjamin coming in the lineup. Maybe they will be able to score points like that, you know. But I don't think you want to get into that type of matchup with the Saints. That's what they do. They put up points, you know. Yeah. They can score. And the Bills' offense is not used to getting into shootouts with teams. Now, you need to start out fast. That's another thing that they need to do. They don't need to go a whole first quarter without scoring. They don't need to start the second half if they get the ball at halftime and not score.
6 points scored in the first
exactly.
quarter.
Exactly. In eight games.
Come on.
You can't do that against this team. You know, you have to score points. When you get the ball, you can't go three and out. You can't go three and out, because Drew Brees is going to be like, man, I get the ball again.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm getting into a groove, and all of a sudden they're throwing the ball down the field. They're throwing screens, running it with Ingram. You don't want this offense to get into a groove. You need to slow them down. You got to keep the ball on offense and score touchdowns.
Let's hear from you. The line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What's the best way for the Buffalo Bills to handle the Saints this weekend? Patrick Weed tweets in, control the line of scrimmage, throw deep to Kelvin Benjamin early, run, shady run. I think everybody would sign up for that. Lead the Stampede tweets in, they have to slow down Brees by any means possible, run the ball to keep him on the sideline, get pressure and get off the field on third down. They're all key. I maybe hope for a few takeaways, but however they do it, so go Brees, so go the Saints. Slowing him down improves our odds for a W. That's what I think of when you say slow down Brees. I mean, limit his chances, right? Limit his possessions. Yeah. Keep him off the field.
This is one of those games you got to play. You got to play field position, but you have to have long drives. Like, you, when this game is over, the Bills need to be on top of the time of possession, like by a wide margin, you know, because they've been running the ball consistently, completing passes. You know, it's – the crazy thing is we all want to see what Kelvin Benjamin can do, right? We all want to see Kelvin Benjamin can go down the field. We finally got a number one receiver, finally got a guy who can go deep and you can throw it up to him. Yeah, well, if you score one time in one play, then you get the Saints the ball. They score in two plays, then you got to get the ball back. You're not going to live and die off of that. You need to have long drives. Throw a slant to him, you know. Throw a 10-yard in cut, you know, and then mix in a bomb or something like that. But you need to have long drives in the score.
They're set up to do it with their run game, their once proud run game. They got to get back to it, though. A couple of calls on this. Chad in Virginia. Chad, what do you think is the best way for the Bills to handle the New Orleans Saints this week?
Donald kind of took
Hello, Chad, are you there?
Say, I think establishing the run game and keeping
Chad
the Saints off.
He's gone. You heard him?
Yeah. Is your earpiece?
Sorry about that, Chad. No, my earpiece is
Call
in.
Back, Chad.
Call back, Chad. Mark in Hamburg, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. How you doing?
Good, good, good. You guys do a great job. I want to start with that, but I think the key is getting Tyrod's got to be willing to go get those first downs with his legs and not try to be so perfect. If it breaks down and he's outside the pocket, just keep moving the chains. Get the first downs, get out of bounds, get down, and just keep the chains grinding. That fourth quarter against Oakland, he did a great job. We had a 6.5-minute drive and kept the ball away and extended it, and he did it by using his legs a little bit there, and just keep the chains moving.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. And Rich actually on Twitter agrees with you. Let Tyrod be Tyrod, make plays with his legs. I agree. Tyrod, you know, not that I want him to just run out of the pocket all the time. He said Tyrod needs to make plays with his legs. And he was just talking about in past games where he picked up, you know, key first downs with his legs. And, yeah, you need for Tyrod to run the ball, take off every now and then, pick up first downs, because that's another threat to a defense. Now you have receivers outside. You have LeSean McCoy. But for this running game to really get going, you need for Tyrod to be involved in the running game, you know. And that could be design runs. That could be just taking off and running. The thing is, now that you have your guys back and you have Kelvin Benjamin, regardless of how many plays he plays, if he plays 30 plays, when he's out there, they're going to pay attention to he and Charles Clay and Jordan Matthews, you know. And then when Deontay Thompson comes in, because they know Tyrod likes to get him the ball. So now they're going to back up. They have to pay attention to those wide receivers. And so now you have room for Shady and Tyrod Taylor to go, you know. And I think that's a big thing for this offense.
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, Kimberly Jones from the NFL Network will join us in studio. We'll get her take on the Bills. She was there last week in the Meadowlands for the Jets game, and a lot more going on around the NFL. Kim Jones from the NFL Network is going to join us when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio on this chilly day, November day in Orchard Park. And joining us in studio, a bona fide friend of the show, maybe the best friend of the show, Kim Jones from the NFL Network and NFL.com. And you've been a friend of the show for years.
I know, right?
You haven't been around much, though. We're attributing that to the Rex factor. Is that really what
probably
happened?
Probably at first, yeah. And then I think our network, NFL Network, kind of lets things evolve a little bit, see who's going to kind of rise to, like, that playoff caliber level. Mm-hmm. And the Bills are certainly there, so... Yeah. I'm here today. Jane Slater will be covering the game Sunday. I actually have the weekend off, or I would be here. So I'm sure I'll see the Bills again.
Yeah, I hope so. Kim Jones from NFL Network is with us. I'm surprised that they still hold the Bills in high regard after the Thursday night game. You were there at the Meadowlands last Thursday. That was bleak.
It was a lot of things. I was surprised. I didn't know the Jets had a game like that in them, especially defensively. Mm-hmm. And I did not anticipate that from the Bills. I know it was a short week and all of that stuff. You know, a full week, does Benjamin play? I don't know that answer. Mm-hmm. You certainly think he has a better shot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Thursdays are Thursdays in the NFL, and often the home team wins, and sometimes those games get ugly, and that one got ugly for Buffalo.
Quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, quickly.
It was unusual to see the Buffalo offensive line struggle that badly. I know the Jets' defensive front is good, but to see all of them, really, Incognito, Wood, all of them struggle as much as they did, I hadn't seen that yet this year until last Thursday.
And it was a defensive front for the Jets giving up, I think it was 128 yards a game rushing.
Yeah.
So it was one of those where they played out of their minds compared to what they've put on film this season, and the Bills did not play to their level. You know, Tyrod didn't have room, LeSean didn't have room, they couldn't find room anywhere. So that was weird to see. I'm used to Shady finding a way.
Yeah.
And I think going into the game, in three of his five games against the Jets, he had 100 yards. So you're used to LeSean getting in gear, and he never got in gear.
You know, for me, I kind of figured the Jets' defensive front is a good defensive front, even though they've been giving up, you know, some yards rushing. What did shock me was the play of Josh McCown.
He's been good. He's been pretty good. Now, a couple times, especially most recently in Miami, he made a big mistake at the end of a game, which, you know, people are going to say, well, I mean, that is him. That is what his career has been. But he's, what, 38 years old now. Yeah. He has been terrific in the locker room. He's been a mentor. He's been someone that they bring receivers in, two of them in the first week of September. He gets them up to speed and finds chemistry with them. He has been someone who's been really, really good for the Jets.
How did we all underestimate, maybe you didn't, but many of us underestimated the Jets going in like, oh, they should just tank and they may not win a game and look how horrible the situation is. They're right there. I mean, they're exceeded everybody's expectations, maybe even their own.
And I think you can say the same for the Bills to some extent. So that's what kind of one of the storylines, as you guys know, going into last Thursday was, you know, for the Jets, they have a big game Sunday. Can they get to 5-5 before their bye? They have a late bye beating, you know, a Tampa team that won't have Mike Evans. And as Ryan Fitzpatrick's career has gone, and you all know about Fitz magic, it is, of course, Fitz starting against the Jets on Sunday. So big game Sunday for the Jets, but they have overachieved. Now, they've left some wins on the field. They had a couple games. They lost three in a row and certainly could have won two of the three. They could have gotten out of the gate quicker. But, yeah, they've surprised us. They're better. Todd Bowles is a good coach. They're playing fundamentally good football. You're going to get used to seeing Jamal Adams and Marcus May at the back end of that defense for a decade to come. They're really, really good young safeties. They still don't have a quarterback for the future, but they have some building blocks in place.
Todd Bowles, is he still on the hot seat?
I said on NFL Network he was never on the hot seat because, to me, as long as they showed progress, ownership, which is the Johnson family, it is now Christopher, Woody now an ambassador, but, of course, Woody before that, they were willing to be patient with this whole process. I have to believe at this point, barring something nuts, they have seen enough to say this is progress.
What did what did Todd Bowles say the other day about his relationship with the GM McCagnan? He said no complaints.
Something like no complaints were married, but we're not married, or something like that.
Where's he going with that?
It was just cute. I mean, they're together. He meant they talk all the time. They're together all the time, but you know, the relationship doesn't take the further steps.
You know, one of the funniest, we had a soundbite.
They talk football probably 23 hours a day.
Yeah, we had a soundbite last week, and it was Todd Bowles doing a press conference, and he found out that they had just made a trade.
Right.
And he was like, I didn't know about that.
Right.
You know, what's...
That was like a red flag, I thought.
Yeah, exactly.
It was his press conference, I think, was at 3 maybe, and the trade deadline was at 4. Yeah. Something like that time is, or 3:40, and the trade deadline was 4. So they got the Robinson, is it Rashard?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Rashard Robinson from the 49ers. I remember him from the combine out of LSU, I believe. Tall, lanky, really skinny guy, but long. Mm-hmm. Always had potential, hasn't been able to put it together for a while now, so we'll see. But going back to his college days. So I think it just caught him off guard in terms of the trade happening. I can't speak to exactly what happened. Those are the moments that, you know, you'd like to not have if you're a PR staff or a head coach. But, you know, they got him, I think, in the last half hour of the trade deadline. So I guess that it was just timing, I guess. Well, and it's not like he's not going to start. Right, you know, I mean, I think they gave up a fourth-round pick, maybe fourth or fifth-round pick, so...
We're with Kim Jones from the NFL Network here. She's here covering the Bills as they get set to play the New Orleans Saints. You kind of put the Bills in the category with the Jets a couple of minutes ago, Kim, as far as being overachievers, maybe exceeding expectations. What is the national imprint of the Bills right now, especially coming off that loss to the Jets on a national stage last Thursday?
Well, and before that game, the Wednesday before that game, I talked to Lorenzo Alexander on the phone, and we were talking about exceeding expectations, and he said to me, you know, I think both of these teams have so far, meaning, of course, his own Bills team and the Jets team. And I said, you're right. I mean, I agree with you, and I think most people would. I think now it'll be curious to see if the Bills can kind of regroup a little bit. They've had 10 days. You got to put a better product on the field Sunday, or you'll lose, I would think, as big even to a worse, Saints team that can put a lot of points on the board. And defensively is playing better than I think that we've seen in a long time from a New Orleans defense. So, but it's at home. I think you do expect the Bills to find it again. I think Benjamin will play. Yeah. You know, he's going to win contested balls. He's going to jump out of the gym. You know, he's one of those guys. So he has a nice opportunity here to really be showcased, right?
Yeah.
He was no longer showcased in Carolina, and now he has a chance to do that with a guy and with a running game that's really good too.
You know, you talked about the running game or lack thereof last Thursday with LeSean McCoy. What's the national perception of LeSean McCoy?
I mean, I have to believe it's that he's a great, great player.
Right.
You know, he has been for so long, coming out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and, of course, Philly, and then coming up here a couple years ago. To me, LeSean, in talking to him and watching him, looks more comfortable than he ever has in Buffalo and as a Bill. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good sign. I know the rushing average isn't where he'd want it to be, but he's been asked to do a lot. Leads the team in receptions and in targets. I don't know that on the season that can now change, because I don't know that Benjamin in half a season can change that, but I would think maybe the eight games going forward, he changes that in a lot of individual games, right, because I have to believe they start to throw to their receivers, Jordan Matthews getting healthier, right, and that sort of thing. Charles Clay would be big, and Clay could have a field day.
Right.
If you got Benjamin, you guys know this, if you got Benjamin and Shady to deal with, you know, that tight end could have some room to run.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kim Jones from the NFL Network is with us. You spent a lot of time covering the New York teams, including the Giants.
Yes.
In their misery, have become kind of fascinating. There were actual rumblings about Eli perhaps being benched by the Giants. Was that for real?
No. I can't remember how Ben McAdoo phrased it. The idea.
It was post-game, right?
I remember. Yes, I do remember now. He was asked, he said post-game after 51-17.
Yeah,
right.
You know, a loss to the Rams that was historic in nature for the Giants, in the bad historic, of course. The idea that they would look to see if some younger players could contribute. And he was asked, does that include the quarterback position? And he said it includes everybody.
Right.
So, Eli Manning will start this week. He will tie Peyton's record in terms of quarterback Ironman status. A week from now against the Chiefs at home, he will break the tie with Peyton and be second to Brett Favre of all time. It's unlikely he would catch Favre. He would need several more seasons of starting, which at 36 seems unlikely that he'll put together multiple seasons after this one. But, you know, I don't think Eli's getting benched. I do think the Giants are in a season that they could never have predicted how bad it would be.
I don't think anyone predicted how bad it could be. And as you talk about, Eli would need several more seasons starting. There are reports that now they're actively looking for quarterbacks.
Well, let's think about how foolish that report was.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Reese was a scout for the Giants in 1994. He's now their general manager and has been since 2007. The idea that they would now start to say, there are some quarterbacks we should be looking at. Let's make sure that USC, UCLA, Wyoming, a couple other schools are schools that we're scouting. Stop. They've been scouting them all season.
Mm-hmm.
They've been scouting them all season. They also like Davis Webb, their third-round pick last year out of Cal, who teammates rave about. We don't get to see them practice in the regular season enough to really see what Davis Webb does. He does do an extensive workout on Sunday mornings that if I'm at that game, we're on the field to see it. This Sunday was a very extensive workout. They all are with him. He throws a nice spiral. The receivers love catching it. He looks the part. But in terms of the Giants quarterback situation going forward, I would not discount Davis Webb, but I also would absolutely count on the idea they've been scouting these good college players all season long.
So are we witnessing the beginning of the end for Eli with the Giants?
Well, we've been witnessing it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Odell was drafted in 2014, that was the start of a window where let's get weapons around Eli and go after one more Super Bowl. They'd take more than one more Super Bowl, but the goal being, of course, to get to one.
Right.
Odell Beckham Jr., as explosive a guy as there is in the league. Then they've added parts since. They drafted Evan Engram in the first round this year, who's a terrific tight end. The idea being he can stress a defense the same way Charles Clay can stress your defense, except that he's younger and faster than Clay. And Odell on the outside can take a lot of attention, and they'd see if they could get the running game going. And none of it has worked out for different reasons.
Now, you talked about Odell taking a lot of attention. He does get a lot of attention because of the things on the field and off the field. He's going to be coming up on a contract year. Now he's
right.
He has this injury. What's going to happen with Odell moving forward?
My guess would be that at some point next year they announce an extension, and Odell does not play next season for the $8.5 million. He'll get healthy. They'll see him healthy. They know what he can do. This is an injury where everyone expects him to come back 100% of what he was. This is not one that they have worries, you know, will he be as explosive? He's still young.
Like
he just turned 25. Yeah, I mean, a patellar tendon is obviously very different than a fractured ankle. So, you know, the expectation is he comes back. I think John Mara strongly will want him to be a New York Giant and will keep him as a New York Giant.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I would guess in terms of a timetable.
Again, in recent weeks when we get a national reporter, NFL reporter in here, I always ask the same question. I'll ask you, what's the best team you've seen in the league so far this year.
The best one I've seen in person, I tell you, the Chiefs were very impressive in beating the Patriots in Foxborough. And they have their moments, yeah. Right? They clearly have their moments. I may see them a week from Sunday at the Giants. So we may, you know, if we cover the Chiefs that day, obviously I'll get to see them and their explosive offense. And they took such a hit with Eric Berry, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The best team I've seen, it's hard for me to not pick the Patriots. I mean, I saw the Panthers beat them. I don't think the Panthers are a better team than the Patriots are, but I did see the Panthers beat them in Foxborough as well.
Yeah.
Probably the Patriots, although the Eagles are
very
good. The Eagles are a team that can pressure you at every level. They're very good.
Yeah.
And Carson Wentz is outstanding.
Yeah. You will be reporting from here on the network today, right?
Later today. 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you got for us?
Well, I got to talk to some people. I'm going to talk to LeSean.
Okay.
We'll have hopefully that interview and talk to some guys in the locker room.
Great. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Thanks for having
it.
Me. I appreciate it.
Kim Jones from the NFL Network here in Orchard Park covering the Bills today. Donald and I back with more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy, Donald Jones, we're live at One Bills Drive. The Bills out on the practice field. The early indications from practice, no practice today for Cordy Glenn with his foot and his ankle. Zay Jones, not at practice today with his ankle injury. It's interesting. I thought it was a knee last week. They're calling it an ankle for Zay.
Yeah. That was interesting.
We'll get the post-practice injury report as the afternoon rolls along.
You know, having Kim in just shows you, and she talked about the Bills are right, playing right now at like a playoff caliber type of level, even though they didn't last week. But their record is what it is right now, and they're right there in the hunt. They're in sixth place right now. And the biggest question is, you know, as we talk about the schedule that's coming up, it's really how do you handle different things, the ups and downs of the season. Every team has one.
All yeah.
right? They all have ups and downs. The Patriots, their downs were in the beginning of the season. The Saints started out 0-2, all right, and they won 6 straight games.
Yeah.
But when you go down, how can you bounce back when you go up? Right now, the Bills, you're starting to see the national reporters come into town and stuff like that, and she's talking about these guys are going to get interviewed and everything. How do you handle that stuff? You know, because at the end of the day, you still got to come out Sunday and be the Saints team that's playing hot right now
yeah.
at home, you know, and so that's always the question. How do you handle the ups and downs of a season?
It's going to be the story of the day Sunday.
Yeah.
How do they bounce back? One of the big stories. What do you think? What is the key for the Bills to handling the Saints on Sunday? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Chad in Virginia. Chad, I cut you off earlier. I apologize. You're on the air with us now.
Oh, that's okay. No harm, no foul. I was just going to kind of reiterate what Donald was saying. I think sustaining drives and really having a consistent run game throughout the entirety of the game will really help them by keeping the Saints offense off the field. And also in cold weather, like if you're from the South and you go into a cold environment, it's especially in a physical game of football, that wears you down physically and mentally over the course of that 3 or so hour span.
Yeah.
Just get your thoughts on that.
I don't know what it's like being from the South and coming up north to play in a game. I always, since I was in, you know, I was born in New Jersey, played in New Jersey, then went to school in the
You're
Poconos.
From New Jersey?
Yeah, and then went to school in the Poconos in Ohio and then here to Buffalo.
You're
so
from
I was
Jersey?
Always,
I didn't know you were
Jersey. You know, Jersey, Garden State, you know, best state in the country. But I know from talking to different people what it's like when they come up north, you know, and that's players and just people coming up north. You know, it's like, man, it's cold up here. You know, it's like really cold. It's cold to everybody, but they really feel it, you know. So players coming up north, I remember I had a lot of friends from like Miami and from, you know, a lot of players are from Florida or Texas or California where it's usually warm. And when they get up here, it's like, yo, this is this is like a different type of cold. And I'm like, well, you know, it's a little bit cold, but I felt even colder than this, you know. And they're like, really? Like, yeah, it can get colder than this here in Buffalo, but it does affect you out there on the field. And we'll see how it does. It's for me, it's not just the cold, but it's the wind out there, you know, and how do they handle maybe catching a punt in the wind? Can yeah. their field goal kickers kick when it's windy in the stadium. You know, they're not used to doing that. Drew Brees can still sling it through the wind. He's you know, a future Hall of Famer. But can their receivers catch the ball? Their hands are like bricks out there. That ball is going to feel like a brick. Can they catch the ball when it's cold and windy out? That's what we're talking about.
I only wish it was going to be colder and windier.
Wish it was going to be raining a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be 45-ish. The winds don't appear to be an issue. I wish it were colder and windier. And look, you don't count on that stuff to win games for you, but it doesn't hurt.
You definitely still have to play a very good game. But as we saw in the Oakland game, they were affected by it. They turned the ball over. You know, that type of stuff can help to win games, because all of a sudden you get a fumble at a key point of the game because that dude just wasn't into it. He was cold, thinking about how cold it was, you know.
Here's James in Buffalo. Go ahead, James. You're on the air. James in Buffalo. Are you there, James? Let's go to Jim in Amherst. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on? Hi, Don. Hi, Jim. John. I was calling regarding the Bills' health going into this game, and you guys just reported on Zay Jones. Unfortunately, he's not practicing, so it's not a good look for Sunday. But I wanted to comment on, everybody getting back. Another thing about E.J. Gaines, our passing game or our pass defense has been lacking, and it, you know, coincided with E.J. Gaines' absence. He was playing pretty good before he left, and, you know, another strong corner on one side and the rookie on the other side, we were all right. But, you know, we're going through, Leonard Johnson.
Therese Wright.
Right.
Yeah.
It really wasn't working out that well. So hopefully, if he comes back this week, we can get a little stronger back there. And once again about Zay Jones, you remember, Donald, you've been saying it for weeks. He just needs that one big play, and he got that play with the touchdown. And on that play, he got tripped up and injured. He would have been pretty open. He might have been able to just go ahead and run right in the end zone if the ball was there. We never know because he got tripped and hurt. And so hopefully the health of the Bills helps us going into this higher game because, like you guys are saying, Drew Brees is a master out there. And 9-7 still might be good enough for the playoffs this year. So that is one good thing to look forward to, because any NFC versus AFC games, the NFC seems to be winning. I hope it keeps going like that.
You know,
let me know what you guys think about it.
Okay.
I mean, as you talk about NFC seems to be winning the AFC games, I'll tell you this. I think the Bills are – oh, no, they lost to the Panthers. So what
right.
are they, 2-1 against NFC South teams, you know. So the Bills are playing okay right now. It was tough to see Zay Jones go down, because I was feeling like he's about to have a monster game right now. And I thought Tyrod was going – did he throw it still that way?
Yeah, I think so. Right?
I think he still threw it that way, yeah. And he would have been wide open. He killed the corner, Buster Screen on that play. You know, and Buster Screen decided to, let me stick my foot out
Did
there.
Did we talk about that? That was deliberate by Buster Screen, right? It appeared to be.
It appeared to be deliberate.
Oh, they got their feet tangled up. Well, it looked like he deliberately got his feet tangled.
It appeared to be, you know, like he stuck his foot out.
Yeah.
And deliberately tripped him, you know, because because Zay Jones kind of beat him real bad off the line of scrimmage, you know, and the only thing he could do as he was reaching back was it was like – I don't know, quick reaction, hand and foot go out. And all of a sudden he tripped him, and it was tough to see.
Well, he hasn't practiced yet this week, Zay Jones, nor has Cordy Glenn, so that does not bode well. And the caller mentioned E.J. Gaines. He was limited yesterday, and we don't have the official injury report in. That'll wait until after practice ends, probably another hour or so for the Bills. So if we get that info, we'll let you know as well. All right, 1 hour down. Our thanks again to Kim Jones of the NFL Network for joining us. In the next hour, Reuben Brown is scheduled to join us, the Bills' perennial Pro Bowl offensive lineman. Also, one of his former teammates, Antoine Smith, going to be the leader of the charge this Sunday before the kickoff between the Bills and the Saints. Antoine Smith scheduled to join us at 1:30. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
The update from One Bills Drive. Buffalo Bills are out on the practice field as we speak. They've got the game against the New Orleans Saints coming up this Sunday. Not on the practice field for the Bills for the second consecutive day is left tackle Cordy Glenn. He did not practice yesterday with foot and ankle issues, and is not on the practice field today. So we'll monitor that and hopefully have the post-practice report coming up once practice ends. Also, not on the practice field for the second consecutive day, wide receiver Zay Jones with his ankle injury. Yesterday, they got limited work out of tight end Charles Clay and limited work from quarterback E.J. Gaines, and the indications are that both of those players should be able to play against the Saints on Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. Forecast calling for 45-degree temperatures and cloudy skies. And the Bills game will be broadcast here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. NFL football tonight, Thursday night football. It is 5-3 Seattle at 4-4 Arizona. That's an 8:25 kickoff at University of Phoenix Stadium in Phoenix, Arizona. The Cardinals coming off a 20-10 win at San Francisco, while the Seahawks just barely lost against Washington at home 17-14 last week. Green Bay Packers have cut tight end Martellus Bennett with the failure to disclose a medical condition designation, bringing his short tenure at Lambeau Field to a surprising end. The move was announced late yesterday. By cutting Bennett with that designation, it sets up the Packers' case for a grievance to reclaim the prorated signing bonus money they gave to Martellus Bennett. The Colts released cornerback Vontae Davis. They made that move today. He was scheduled to be a free agent after the season. The Colts will have to pay the remaining portion of his base salary this year if he goes unclaimed on waivers. A source confirmed to ESPN last night that Davis, after seeking a second medical opinion, made the choice to undergo season-ending surgery. And the Houston Texans are giving backup quarterback T.J. Yates, who spent the offseason with Buffalo, first-team snaps this week. Sabres home tomorrow night against the Florida Panthers. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio here in Orchard Park. Bills on the practice field. On the line with us on the Subway Fresh Tank Hotline, our regular Thursday visitor. Happy to have perennial Pro Bowl guard Reuben Brown on the line. Reuben, how are you? John Murphy and Donald Jones here.
Murph, Donald, how you guys doing?
Good. We were hoping to hear the rumble of your your motorcycle rolling up here outside today. You still on the bike these days?
No, it's a little too chilly up in these parts now. I have to refrain from riding.
You know, I said earlier, listen, I don't know if Reuben refrains from riding ever. It doesn't matter what the weather's like.
Well, now, Donald, you know, I'm a little uppity. I just get on the plane and go somewhere else and ride in warm weather, you know, opposed to riding around here. But it's been an unbelievable fall, and I have ridden my bike quite a bit. But, you know, right now is the time when a lot of us start doing repairs or, you know, new updates to our bike. So we're more in the shop this time of year than we are out on the road.
Hey, before we talk about Bills and NFL, Reuben, your team, the Pitt Panthers, are going to be on ESPN tonight against North Carolina, and Pitt showing some surprising signs of life here, right? A couple of wins in a row.
Yeah, there's a heartbeat there. There's actually a heartbeat down in Pittsburgh. We're really excited. You know, the North Carolina and Pitt games are actually been pretty good battles over the last couple of years. There's been some really good talent on both teams. I know North Carolina's been having a nice stream of talented players, and we owe North Carolina for a couple of losses. So we're excited about the game. I'm glad that my team is back on TV instead of being pushed to ESPN 101. You know, we can actually find them in prime time. So I won't be paying much attention to anything else other than my Pitt Panthers.
There you go.
ESPN, one commentator, one camera in the stadium.
Yeah, yeah. And usually they call the old alumni for an update in between each play. That's how bad, you know, Pitt had fallen down the ranks. But, you know, there's a little bit life there. I'm rooting for Narduzzi. I really like him as a coach. And I like some of the things he's done, but, you know, our athletes seem to be – we got a lot of young ones, which is a good thing. We got some young guys.
Reuben Brown, 9-time Pro Bowl appearances for him in his NFL career with the Bills and the Bears. And before we get to the Bills, I want to talk to you about your other team, the Chicago Bears. They play 1 o'clock Sunday at Soldier Field against Green Bay. We've talked to you a little bit about this, but having spent some time in Chicago, this game against Green Bay is always a big deal for the Bears, no matter what the records are, right?
Yes, it is. It's a big tradition in the NFL itself. Just the history of the two teams, who were involved with the team, Lombardi,
yeah. and George Halas.
You know, George Halas, that whole connection makes you feel a part of the whole history of football when you're either wearing a Green Bay Packer uniform or the Chicago Bears. And then when they both get together, usually everyone's paying attention. This year, for different reasons, you know, Rodgers is obviously hurt and the Packers don't look that exciting, but that never slows this particular game down from being a big time deal.
Rube, you played, you know, here in Buffalo and in Chicago. So here in Buffalo, you know, the Bills had their rivals back then, the Dolphins. It's since become the Patriots, the Jets, obviously. But then when you go to Chicago and you're playing in that game, did you feel that, like, that rivalry? Did you feel that history playing in that game?
Yeah, you feel it. You know, and I'm a student of the game of football, so I know the old, all the old stories and the old teams and stuff like that. So, and the significance of Soldier Field, Lambeau Field. So if you're a football historian or just a student of the game of football, you get goosebumps when you're involved or associated with that particular game, regardless of where your background is.
Which is the cooler place to play in, Soldier Field or Lambeau?
You know, Soldier Field, I like it for its modern confines now. I always hate going to Green Bay. I don't like Green Bay, so I'm very happy that I played for the Bears, and I'll never like going up to Green Bay. So I like Chicago better.
Those are the nicest people in the world up there.
Yeah, they can stay there. You know, let's put a bubble over them and just put a door so you can only enter for games and leave. That's it. Let them stay up there. I don't care for Green Bay Stadium. I don't like Green Bay. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Bratwurst? You don't like bratwurst and beer and cheese? And
No. I don't want it.
I don't want it.
All right, enough dancing.
I want my steak down in down on Rush Street in Chicago.
Pretty good choice. Reuben Brown is on the line with us, and we've danced around it. Now we got to get to it. The Bills, in particular, their offensive line and their performance last Thursday night, a week ago tonight, at the Jets. What did you make of that, Reuben? What did you see there?
Oof. Ouch. Ooh. Aha. And I'm not one. We're going to talk about the lackluster performance of the offensive line. That's clear. You know, almost each position had a breakdown of some sort. Especially our right side, we were really weak. And that's been the case for our offense for some time now. Wouldn't you agree, guys? You know, what we saw on that Thursday night game was something that was always there. We knew we had issues there. We knew our offensive line hadn't gelled to this point. And the Jets' defensive front really exposed that. And what's sad about it is the Jets' defensive line hadn't done much until they faced us.
Right.
They sound great on paper, and they are. They got a big name as a group, but they hadn't put it together until they faced us and made us look bad.
Yeah. It was crazy, Rube, because, I mean, it was like – they were coming. It was almost like they were just bull rushing the Bills offensive line. It wasn't like you didn't see many moves or any of that stuff. They were just bull rushing, backing everybody up into Tyrod's face.
Yeah. You know, I have a philosophy when dealing with offensive lines and trying to get their confidence and camaraderie and gelling and have them get into a rhythm. And almost every offensive coordinator in the NFL does not have a pulse on their offensive line. They don't. Because anyone that starts their game off when you're in deep territory with a play-action pass instead of just starting the game to get the guys greasy and sweat, you know, ready for the day of the game, you want to run the ball. But you start out with a play-action and you get tackled for a loss, you know, it doesn't do well for your offensive line who you're trying to build their confidence, and the defense that you're facing, when something like that happens, blood's in the water, and it's almost like you can't stop them. The momentum was started against the Bills offensive line by the play calling. All right, I don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, call out the coaches, but the players have been called out, so the coaches need to be called out too. Mm-hmm. Play calling on Thursday was horrible.
What way? Right. What did you see?
I just said the first thing, I would not have started that game with a play action rollout pass with the ears of the the Jets pinned back, ready to go. I would have tried a little bit more of a conservative play. I know that makes they think their rollout of play action conservative in their game plan scouting. I probably would have just handed the ball off and ran it with our running backs the first play of the game, opposed to the way we started it. That's the first step. That's the first thing.
Is there a second thing?
Oh, then the rest of the game. You know, the momentum was lost. You know, so all the play calling from then on seemed to be as catch-up or defensive more than offensive.
Right.
You know, the play calling was not designed to the offensive line face on paper, which is one of a superior defensive line over there. You know, they just didn't call the plays to defend against that. They kind of just left the linemen out there like, oh, we pay you guys to block, and just go block that guy. And, you know, we won't have any concern for how skilled they are, whether we should double team them, should we slow them down, three-step drop them, do a lot of the things that you need to do play calling to offset their ability to beat us one-on-one, which Donald, you saw, and you were just describing, it looked like they were just straight bull rushing our guys,
right?
Because our guys weren't helped, I would say, to succeed, because they aren't that strong as a unit yet, or haven't been.
Hey, Rube, I'm not sure if you heard the soundbite from Richie Incognito as he talked about the Thursday night football and how tough it is to play on Thursday night. But for an offensive lineman, I know what it's like as a receiver, but an offensive lineman who's in the trenches, what's it like to have to play on such a short time period?
It sucks because you have a whole routine you got to go through. I've never liked these Thursday night games. Ever since they put them on the schedule, you know, Thursday nights for college. Let the college guys play on Thursday night NFL. And you play on Monday and Sunday. There's plenty of time, plenty of space for that to happen. Thursday, you can wear down. It can be a fatigue factor, whether it's mental or physical. You have to have a shorter period of time to prepare. And, you know, that definitely showed in the Bills. That definitely showed.
Reuben Brown is our guest, the former Pro Bowl guard for the Buffalo Bills. He's part of our post-game show that airs at 11:30 on Sunday nights, Bills Tonight. Reuben and Mike Catalano talking about the Bills' performance. You've been around rough games like that, Reuben, during your NFL career. How does an offensive line in particular bounce back? What do you do during the week, and in this case for the Bills, kind of a longer week after that, to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Well, you're going to start by going over the film, seeing what you did wrong, and see the positions that the players were put in so you can avoid any negative plays again if you have to call those particular plays against those particular fronts and things like that. But when it comes to, like, just physical fundamentals of football, then it's on the player to self-evaluate to say, hey, I'm not doing that well when I got a three technique and I have to drive block them. Or I'm having trouble with a backside cutoff block, guard, and tackle. Or you say, hey, you know, we're having trouble with stunts in games. So you, on your own or through the coaches, you get extra time on that, whichever way, whether you watch more film, whether you go out on the field and do a couple of drills, which I don't know how much time players are allowed it to be on the field anymore to correct some of these things.
Right.
So that is what you would do as a professional, you know, how you would attack the problem. And then you would pray that your staff, your brain trust up there to cause the play, are going to evaluate themselves and say, hey, you know, maybe we should give these guys something else to do that's more suited for them, you know, to succeed, opposed to just praying that they develop into what we want them to be, you know.
Hey, Rube.
Mark Levy said you got to draft them. You don't make them. So that means you got to be a coach and coach them to do what you know that they can do.
Cordy Glenn hasn't practiced yet this week, so we're not sure if he's going to play in the game or not. If he doesn't play, you would think it's going to be Deion. What has Deion showed you that would, you know, give you some confidence in him to be the left tackle in this game?
Well, he's our guy that stepped in before for him, right?
Yeah.
You know, and each time he stepped in, he's done a solid job, I think, for a young player, you know. I'm just sad for Cordy's health issues because I know there's something there with him as a player. I like him. And but that being said, I think that the coaching staff has confidence in the young man that we're going to put in to play in that's going to replace Cordy. So that goes a long way to also helping them. You know, I just came down on the coaches for the bad play calling. But, you know, if a player has confidence, like, hey, they're calling on me to do the job, you know, and he's a young talent, I think, you know, you can see him, you know, be supportive and make strides as a young player to develop, you know, just knowing that, hey, we have confidence in you when our starting left tackle goes down. You're the guy up.
Hey, Ruben, coming up on the show in a couple of minutes here, we're going to be on the line with an old teammate of yours who's coming back to be the leader of the charge. You played, what, 3 or 4 years with Antoine Smith? He was your running back. Are you blocking for him?
Oh, my goodness, that guy. He was another lineman that could run the ball. Oh, my goodness, I love Antoine Smith. One of my favorite people, and he is such a gentle, soft-spoken guy. Well, at least around me. I mean, you know, I'm a talkative person.
Yeah.
But Antoine's soft, and not soft meaning, you know, just he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He's a nice guy, man. You wouldn't think he's a bruising, you know, running back. I mean, I've always loved blocking for him. He made the job easy. I was disappointed when he left. I rooted for him when he went over to New England and got a Super Bowl ring because I love that guy. He's like Corey Dillon. Yeah, honestly, he got the same talent that Corey Dillon had. Corey might have been a little bit faster, but that's something I'll tease Antoine about.
Well, we'll tell him you said hello.
Yeah, right.
Please do. I hope I'll end up seeing him this weekend at the game.
He's coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Well, tell them I said hi, guys.
We will. Hey, Ruben, thanks for this, and we'll talk to you again next week. We appreciate
it. Next week.
Thanks
a
lot.
Guys. Take care.
Ruben Brown, 9-time Pro Bowl guard for the Buffalo Bills and the Chicago Bears on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us, Subway Eat Fresh. If you need more Ruben, and who doesn't, Ruben is on the air every Sunday for Bills Tonight, part of our weekend lineup of TV shows. Ruben with Mike Catalana, 11:30 Sunday nights, following Bills games on MSG. Bills Tonight, they recap the game. They get the locker room sound out there so you can hear what's being said in the locker room, and you get Ruben's insight into every Bills game.
You need more Ruben.
You need more Ruben. Who doesn't?
That sounds like a spread that you put on like a sandwich or something.
I need more Ruben. Hey, speaking of offensive linemen, Richie Incognito met with the media yesterday, and Incognito coming off that tough performance by the Bills at the Jets last Thursday night. Incognito was asked, what's it feel like to be underdogs at home against the New Orleans Saints? Here's what Richie had to say.
I like being the underdog. I like personally having everybody pick against us, and then, you know, we go out and we shock the world.
Richie, do you get tired of answering these questions about, you know, teams in the past that may not have been able to finish off, you know, fast starts? Because you guys didn't play it. Most of the guys in this locker room didn't play any of those teams.
Yeah, we weren't here. You know, this 5-3 team is completely brand new. It's a completely different feel. There were a few guys here when the team did go 5-2 or 5-3, whatever, and then they had to fall apart and didn't win a game the rest of the year. So guys have been here. You know, we're trying to reshape this, remold this, and make this about the 2017 Bills. And I think guys have done a good job. You know, Coach McDermott has done a good job with his messaging the entire offseason, during the season, now that we have 8 games to go. You know, the messages remain constant and consistent, and I think guys respect that.
The O-line as a whole seems like it's coming off maybe one of its toughest showings last week. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough sledding against the New York Jets. They had a good game plan for us. They played well. And, yeah, I mean, that big talented group, we kind of played to their wheelhouse and made things difficult on ourselves.
How motivational, then, is it to put that behind you this weekend?
Yeah, it's nice because we got some time to stew on it. You know, we had a couple days off after the game. And now it's the time to come out and kind of get that bad taste out of our mouth and take it to the Saints.
How are you feeling physically? I know Eric said you threw up on the plane.
Where's Eric? I'll punch him. Yeah, I got a little motion sick. So, I mean, I had a rough go at it Thursday night. You know, I had taken some painkillers to kind of get through the game. And I got on the plane and didn't take my Dramamine, and I got a little motion sick. So Thursday was a rough go. I was glad to get home and get some sleep and rest up. And then it took Saturday and Sunday to get away, recharge, and come back. You know, eight weeks left to rip off as many wins as possible and get the Bills in the playoffs.
Ankle's still a factor at all?
No, ankle's good. I'm back to 100%. I participated in my first practice in the last 2 weeks. I've really just been on the shelf trying to get this ankle right, so it's good to be back out there with the guys and grinding.
Have you guys offensively been aware, 6 first quarters, no points, 6 three and outs to start a first drive of the second half? Is that something that's been noticeable and been a point of emphasis?
Yeah, you know, you have to come out and start faster. You know, you have to start faster when you get the ball in the first half. You have to start faster when you get the ball in the second half. You know, it's all about coming out, putting up points, gaining momentum, and that's an area we can improve on to make ourselves a more dangerous team.
Mitchie Incognito talking about how he was sick to his stomach on the plane coming home from the Meadowlands last week. Seems to me that happens more often than people might think, though, right? I mean, because everything.
You get sick to your stomach?
No, I'm talking about players.
Oh, I thought. Being sick to their stomach?
Yeah, just, you know, especially if you're hurt and, you know, you've maybe tried to get ready to play and all of a sudden, you know, it all catches up with you? No or no?
I think it's an individual thing. Yeah. I never really got – the worst flight I had here as a player, I got a root canal done. Going to New England, I got this root canal, and they didn't take out the entire – they left a piece of the nerve in there. And we're up there the next day after the root canal, and we get up in the air, and the pressure just went right down on that tooth. And it was like, ah! And Stevie's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I was hurt. But I was never one to really get sick on flights. I've only been sick on one flight, and that was because I was already, like, sick anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. I don't get the motion sickness thing. Not on flights. On boats, though, I do. Like, when I go, like, fishing and you know, cruises, I'll get some motion sickness on that.
I'll remind the Bills not to take boats to
And in New York City taxis. I don't know what the deal is with these cab drivers. I got to, like, just close my eyes. I can't even pay attention to where we're going. I get sick. Yes.
I think I was in the cab right after you.
You might have been.
Brandon in Gettysville. Hello, Brandon. Welcome.
Hey, John. Don, thanks for taking my call. I had a couple ideas I wanted to run by you about how I think the Bills can beat the Saints this Sunday.
Let's hear it.
My first idea is all the fans dress up in Saints jerseys so that the Saints players think they're playing in an alternate universe.
They're in a matrix.
And they start making all these mistakes because we're rooting against them when they're on offense and they can't hear anything. They think their fans are rooting against them. My second idea is that all the Bills fans dress up as jambalaya ingredients and the Bills players jambalaya. Like jumbo shrimps.
Oh, yeah.
The players think they're in a big pot of soup and they lay down and lose. What do you think?
I love it, man. I love it. Like, first of all, let's get all of the Bills fans to go buy Saints jerseys just for this week. And everybody wears Saints jerseys.
What would that do?
I'm not sure. It'll do something. It'll be a blackout in the stadium.
Yeah, okay.
And then, yeah, the whole jambalaya thing, I love that too. Let's try to find some jambalaya. Can we call up Drew Brees? Let's have Thurm call up Drew Brees and have him bring some jambalaya.
You can make it here. I mean,
I know, but you got to have it from New Orleans.
All right. Couple of novel ideas. Was Brandon trying to say they have no chance except for that nuttiness? Is that what he's trying to say?
I hope not.
I don't think that's the case. Maybe Brandon could be right. All right, when we come back, the guy who's going to bring the Bills out of the field, and I think he'd be in a Bills jersey, his number 23 jersey, Antoine Smith, former Bills first rounder, going to join us when we return the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Moving along on this Thursday afternoon, the Bills still practicing. When they come off the field, we hope to get the injury update from a couple of notable players, Cordy Glenn and Zay Jones. We'll find out more about that. When the Bills take the field Sunday against the Saints, the guy who will be leading them out on top of the tunnel, waving the Bills flag, the leader of the charge, he joins us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, former Bills first-round draft pick, running back Antoine Smith. Antoine, John Murphy and Donald Jones, thank you very much for joining us here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. How y'all doing?
We're doing okay. How's it feel to be coming back to Buffalo to be the leader of the charge? What do you think of that?
Hey, that's a good deal, man. I actually haven't been back there really since I left, actually since I came back to play against them.
How come you haven't been back?
Too cold, man. Too cold.
Well, it might be a little chilly this weekend, too, as a matter of fact.
I already got the forecast, so I'm prepared for it.
That's probably the first thing you looked at.
Yes, sir, it really was.
Hey, Antoine, now I got to ask you this question. Before we get into football, you played in a couple different, you know, places, Buffalo, New England, Tennessee, New Orleans. Best food, which city?
Come on, man. That's a loaded question.
Best food?
That's a loaded question. Let's see how you answer this one.
The best food. You know, you know what? I'm a Buffalo wing man myself. So, okay. You know, I got to go with the B-Loaf.
Better than New Orleans.
Yeah. Actually, wasn't down there long enough. That was the year we got ran out by Katrina.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. You had Jim Haslett as your coach down there, the head coach, right?
Yeah, yes, he was.
You wound up playing where? In Baton Rouge?
San Antonio. Yeah, Baton Rouge and San Antonio.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was your last year. Antoine Smith came to the Bills as a first-round draft pick. Before that, Antoine, I remember the story. You actually came out of high school and worked in a factory for a little bit before you got back into football, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know, I graduated high school in 1990. I didn't go to college until 93.
Why a factory working? What got you back into football?
Actually, you know, I was taking care of my grandparents. They were sick, so I needed a little income around the house. So I went to work to, you know, to help them out. And, you know, when she got sick, the last thing that stayed in my head that she said was, boy, go to school and get your education. Ain't nothing out there in the streets for you.
Hmm. Yeah, good advice, obviously. You went to a junior college and the University of Houston. Did you anticipate you'd be a first-round pick back then in 97?
No, I didn't really care nothing about football then.
Really?
I had no idea. No, I wasn't taking football serious. I knew I could play. You know, like I said, I only played 1 year. That was my senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. And from that, 3 years laid off and then went, you know, went to fulfill the dream that really that my grandmother had for me. So that's why I went out.
How did you get from that point to first round pick?
Really, going into my senior year at the University of Houston, when head coach Kim Heldon sat me down, he was like, I think you really have a great opportunity in front of you, so but you're going to have to put in the work and work hard at it. You know, so I think you have the potential to be in the first three rounds. You know, and once he told me that, I really started liking it a little bit then, and, you know, just put in the work, you know, to get where I got to.
That's funny because, you know, most kids in college who are playing football, they're like, man, I want to get to the league as a freshman. You know, I'm going to school. I'm going to do 3 years, and I'm out of there. You're in school like, yeah, I'm just here. I'm just having fun. You know, I want to get my education. And all of a sudden, oh, coach, you telling me I can go in the first three rounds? Maybe I should do something with this.
Yeah, seriously, because I was like, man, that wasn't really a dream of mine. And until, you know, it came to my senior year, like, I actually think you have the ability to get drafted in the first three rounds, but you're not going to put in the work. Everything else, I was just doing enough to get by.
Right. So how do you – because football is a sport. You know, I played it at the highest level, and it's a sport that you got to love to play, you know. So how did you play for so long, even just in college, when you're going – you got to wake up in the spring, 5 a.m. and all of that stuff for practice and everything. How do you do that when you're not – it's not really your dream?
You know what, Ashley – the most fun you have is at practice with the guys on the team. You cracking jokes in the locker room and stuff. You know, that's the part about the game that I miss. You know, you're cracking jokes on each other in the locker room. And when you watch your film, don't let nobody get a de-cleater. You're going to mess with them all week long. So it was just the camaraderie about the practices so much, you know, and building the relationships and the friendships that I got still to this day that I have with some guys.
We're with Antoine Smith. He'll be the leader of the charge, former Bills first-round draft pick back in 1997. When you came to the Bills, Antoine, you came to a pretty talented roster. There were some Hall of Famers, you know, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas on the roster, and some other pretty good players. You had to know you were coming to a pretty good team that was just, what, a couple of years removed from their Super Bowl run, huh?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, that's the first thing that set in when I got drafted. You know, of course, you're happy to be drafted. And me, never been nowhere but in the South. Hadn't been nowhere on the East Coast. Ain't been nowhere past Tennessee, really. And so I was like, Buffalo, I like, it gets a little cold up there. And that was the first thing that stuck in my head. Man, it's going to be cold up there.
You were built for that kind of weather, though, as far as a football player, as a running back, don't you think?
Well, big back. You know, big back, I wasn't going to give you a lot of wiggle. Didn't have a lot of wiggle. What you see is what you was going to get. You know, as they say, 3-4 yards in a cloud of dust. That was me.
You know, we just had your boy Reuben Brown on right before we had you on, right before we called you in the last segment. And he was like, man, Antoine was like a lineman who could run the ball.
Yeah, I was faster than Reuben. Yeah, I was faster than him. So, yeah, you know, like I said, a big back that wasn't going to try to jump to the outside. If it was meant to go up the middle, I'm going up the middle. I'm going to hit the hole where I was supposed to be hit. You know, if it was just wide on my tail, yeah, I bounced out that end. But other than that, where it was designed to go, that's where I was going.
You came to a Bills team that was transitioning, Antoine, and there was – and believe it or not, I'm sure you know this, the last playoff appearance was the Music City Miracle game down in Nashville. I just heard that sound you made. But you had a good game, right? You had a couple of touchdowns, including a 44-yard run early in the second half of that game.
Yeah, that was a great game. That was a great game. You've never been at one moment so high thinking that we won the game and we kicked the ball off and they run it back and you like, no, this can't be real. That's a lateral. That's a forward pass. That's coming back.
Right.
And when they didn't change to give you a touchdown, your heart just sinks because I felt like that year that team had a chance to go all the way.
I've heard people say that was the worst post-game locker room because of the way that game went down, but the worst post-game locker room scene they'd ever been in. Did you feel that way, Antoine?
Yeah, man. We fought hard that game. We got down early in that game, I think like 12-0. And came back to take the lead at the end of the game just to kick it off and to run it all the way back on a play with no time left on the clock. It just, you know, that's a defeated feeling. I'd rather get blowed out than lose a game like that.
And then, you know, during your time here too, you were also part of the team that went through that kind of agonizing quarterback controversy, Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson. How did you handle that? What was that like going through all of that?
You know, the only thing you can do is go with the coach's decision, and you can go with who's out there. Whoever out there, you're going to try to give it your best to support that quarterback. You know, you had your favorite who you thought should be, you know, the starting quarterback, but, you know, ultimately it came down to the coach's decision.
When you think back to that time, and you've already said it as far as that year of the Music City Miracle, do you feel like you guys had a championship run in you? Maybe that was the year, or was there something more to get to as far as that team and your potential that you had?
I said it to myself. A lot of guys felt it like going into that game, like the one out of this game is going to the Super Bowl. Because I think that year, I think, you know, you had an 11-5 team, I think, what? Or were they 12-4? We was 11-5 playing in the wild card.
Yeah.
You know? And we had to go there. And, you know, that team had the number one defense that year. I mean, that team was a good team. That team was a good team. Everybody stuck together. You just, you know, it didn't fall for us.
Yeah, you eventually won 2 Super Bowls with the Patriots, right? And so what did it feel like when you went on? Like, did it feel the same, the team that you were on, you lost to the you lost to the Titans, then you go on to the Patriots. Did it feel like the same team, like that Bills team? Man, I had this type of feeling on that team. We just didn't end up making it.
Yeah, you know, when I left there, we started out, when I go to New England, we started out, I think, 0-3 or 1-4, something like that. And as we start getting on the road, look at the team, like, okay, we ain't the most talented team, but, you know, we're playing together. And that's what we had that year with the Bills that year. I felt like, you know, we wasn't the most talented, but, you know, it was a gritty group of guys that was going to grind it out every game.
With the Patriots, Antoine, the first Super Bowl, it was, I think that was the Rams, right? I remember Vinatieri made the long-range kick to win it, and you, like you were shot out of a cannon. You were almost the first guy out on the field there to pick him up after he won that, right?
Man, that feeling there, it was no one in football gave us a chance to win that game, you know, but besides my teammates in the locker room. So when that clock hit, when Vinatieri kicked the ball, you see it going up there. I think I was already on the field, halfway on the field when I saw the ball go through the uprights. And that was just my first reaction, just a natural reaction, just went out there like, we world champs.
Best moment in football for you, those world championships with the Patriots?
Has to be. It's, you know, because, like I said, I have played with some Hall of Famers like the Bruce Smiths, the Thurman Thomas, Andre Reeves. They got to four Super Bowls, but never won one. I think that is the epitome to get there and to win it. Right. You know, so many guys that don't get a chance to even go to the Super Bowl. So to go to it and win it, you know, for me, that was everything.
You were around, it seems to me, you were around a lot of NFL history, Antoine, when you think about it, with the Bills and Music City Miracle and the Patriots championship wins, and you played for Bill Belichick. I mean, you contributed too, but you also had almost a knack of finding your way to be around great players, great coaches, and great games throughout your, 9 years in the league?
Yes, I mean, that was good. I've been around some tremendous players. Like I said, when I went to Tennessee, I got a chance to be with Steve McNair. You know, yeah. You know, of course, going to New England, got a chance to play under Belichick and some great players there with the Ty Laws and Roy Malloy and Tom Brady and so on. So I had a blessed career. I can't take nothing away from it.
What do you do now, Antoine? Where are you and what do you do for a living these days?
I'm actually in Houston, Texas now, where it was, 90 degrees just last weekend. Now I'm coming to Buffalo where it's going to be 20 degrees. So,
no, 40, hey, look, 40 degrees, Antoine.
40? Okay. Well, I'll take 40. But, yeah, right now, actually, I'm into real estate. I'm going to do real estate, and also I train kids. I got a little speed and agility camp that I do.
Oh, okay. So how was you're in the real estate. How's everything since the hurricane down there in Houston?
A lot of work. Yeah. It's a lot of work. You know, this city is still rebuilding, man. There's a lot of people that are still homeless, still living in hotels and everything. And you know what I'm saying? You know, we still just pray for the city and try to do what we can do to help them out.
It's going to be, I would think, fun for you to be standing up there as the Bills come out on the field. It'll be a sellout crowd. It will be a little bit chilly. But you got to be looking forward to this weekend, I think, coming back to Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I am, actually. You know, play for both teams. Mm. Play for both teams. So, you know, get a chance to go out there and you know, see some faces that I hadn't seen in a good while that's still there. You know, as far as Bud is concerned and Woody, the guys that's in the training staff. And just, you know, look forward to just leading them out there.
You know,
it'll be a good deal.
We just had a caller on, and he felt like for some reason he wanted all Bills fans to wear Saints jerseys. I guess some type of mind trick type of thing. But just to make sure you're going to have on a Bills jersey.
I'm gonna have on the blue and red, man. I'm gonna have on the Bills jersey.
Antoine, we look forward to seeing you Sunday. Have a safe trip up here. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us on the show today. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you for having me.
Antoine Smith, former Bills first round draft pick back in 1997, played 4 seasons here, 9 seasons in the NFL, won a couple of Super Bowl rings with the New England Patriots. He was a force when he had the football in his hands,
I
Donald.
Can see the highlights.
Yeah, you saw
there.
Some of the highlights. Yeah. He was a force, tough to bring down. And he wasn't fast, but just enough speed to make him a tough guy.
Hey, that's all you need. And at the end of the day, people didn't want to tackle him, and that's what it was.
Right.
You know, like I got just enough speed to make it, you know, to the end zone, but you don't want to tackle me because I'm not even trying to go around you. I'm going straight through you.
Right. Good to hear from Antoine. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Donald and I come back with more in a moment. Leslie Frazier, Bills defensive coordinator, going to join us in the next couple of minutes or so. Come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Practice is over for the Buffalo Bills, and just off the practice field, happy to have Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier in studio with us. Coach, I think last time we had you on was in the warm, balmy days of August down at training camp.
Yes.
We're not at camp anymore, just in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah, no, the temperatures have definitely changed. It's a little bit cool out there, but, hey, it feels like football weather.
It does feel like football weather, and it feels like it's a good time to have a dome team come up here north to play in Buffalo. How much – you probably can't rely on that, but how much do you think about that going into a game like this?
It does have somewhat of an effect when you play in a dome you know, throughout the season and you practice in a dome this time of the year. It can have a little bit of an effect on you, but at the end of the day, you know, it's about how good your team is and how well you match up against certain teams. So that gets kind of thrown out the window after a while.
You know, traditionally, or at least for the last decade since Drew Brees has been a quarterback, the Saints have been known as more of a finesse type of team, throwing the ball all over the place. They're still throwing it, but they have a running game now.
Yeah.
That makes that team a little bit different.
No doubt about it. The fact that Mark Ingram is having a very good year, but the rookie, Kamara, he's really come along and given them something in the run game they haven't had recently. So they're much more balanced than they have been in the past. Just like you said, they were more one-dimensional. Now they create some issues for you in the run game, which makes their offense that much stronger.
Yeah.
What kind of a back is Kamara? And he's more than just a ball carrier, right? He's a factor in the passing game, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the leading receivers for running backs in our league right now. So he's come in as a rookie and really made an impact in the first half of the season, both catching the football and running the football. But his ability in the open field, that's what really sticks out to you. You know, making people miss, running through tackles, great balance. He's a great addition to their offense.
They run a lot of screen passes to him.
A lot of screens. And that is a big part of their offense. Yeah. You know, and they screen from anywhere on the field, so they put some stress on your defense in that way.
Is that different? Is there a certain part of the field where offensive coordinators usually think to run a screen?
Usually you can get a feel for where they're going to run screens. You know, most teams you can expect it maybe three or four times a game. Well, this team, you know, you might get it up to 10 times in a ball game from anywhere on the field. You know, in the red zone, backed up, middle of the field, it doesn't matter. That's part of their offense, screens.
And it's been for a while, right? It's not as if they just waited for Kamara to do this. This is Sean Payton does. Right?
Yeah, he goes all the way back to when Reggie Bush was there with him. So this has always been a big part of their offense.
What particular do they do well in the screen game that makes it such a staple for them offensively?
Well, the offensive line, you know, when you study it, they do a great job of getting out and getting a hat on a hat and creating some running lanes for their running backs or wide receivers because they screen to the wide receivers as well. So, but they do a good job of just treating the screen like it's an offensive run. They're very similar, and they practice it that way as well.
What about these receivers and Ted Ginn and Thomas on the other side? They're some fast dudes.
Yeah.
They got some getting them the ball.
They got some good receivers, and you mentioned the guy that probably has the best speed on their offense, and that's Ted Ginn. He's done a good job of getting some big plays for him, and Drew has the arm strength to get it to him. So he's a guy you have to be aware of, and you know Michael has done a good job for him out at wide receiver as well. I mean, they got some weapons for sure.
With Leslie Frazier, the Bills' defensive coordinator, kind of going over the matchups for this Sunday's game, and we've yet to discuss in depth Drew Brees, who we don't see him a lot here in Buffalo, and it's our loss because this guy he's not just really good, he's elite. He's at the Brady level. Don't you agree?
Oh, he's outstanding. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer for sure. You know, one of the top three or four quarterbacks to play the game, and seems like he's getting better as he ages, and they, you know, surrounded him with more weapons this season. Their defense is playing better, so he's having a terrific year, which is in some ways it's no surprise because of the way his career's gone. But you know, you'd much rather watch him against other people than watch him against your team.
Sure.
So he's pretty good.
You know, he gets the ball out fast,
yes.
So he's not being sacked that often. Is that offensive line really good, or is he getting the ball out that fast?
I think it's a combination. They've got a good offensive line, but historically, you know, he's been a guy who gets the ball out fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're number one in the league as far as least sacks allowed, but that's not unusual for them. So you have to trace it back to Brees' ability to be able to get the ball out, not taking sacks, and, you know, recognizing coverages and knowing where to go with the football.
Right. When you think of a quarterback who gets the ball out fast, like Brees, is that a physical thing? The ball is zipping out of his hand, or is it more like a quick decision-making, command of the offense type thing?
Well, he definitely has great command of offense. He's been in this offense for the last 10 seasons with their head coach, Sean Payton, who's also the coordinator of their offense. So that synergy between the two of them and his ability to be able to recognize what you're doing on defense and his decision-making, and once he makes a decision, getting the football out, I mean, it's a great combination. His accuracy is what sets him apart from other quarterbacks who have quick releases. His accuracy is second to none.
We hear the stories about Brady and the preparation that he does going into a game and the film study. It would seem like in Drew Brees you got a pretty similar situation. This guy probably grinds film all week long looking at your defense, right?
Yeah, you know, just in talking with Tavares Cadet, who we just signed, that's exactly what he told us. I mean, he's, you know, Drew's one of those guys who he told me is pouring over film, trying to find, you know, what the best matchups are for their offense and what the best play calls are. So he's one of those guys who, similar to Peyton Manning, who I was with in Indianapolis, who's going to spend the time, much like the coaches would, in his preparation, which also sets him apart because of his athletic ability.
How has Drew Brees managed to overcome his lack of stature, his lack of height?
Well, some of it goes back to his intelligence, his football intelligence, understanding what defenses are doing, his decision-making, finding those lanes to be able to throw the football within. Because when you're 6 foot, a little bit under 6 foot, to be able to do what he has and throughout his career is really amazing in a lot of ways. Usually those guys that are a little bit short in stature, they're more quick guys, scrambling quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He's a pocket passer who's able to accomplish what he's accomplished.
And he can hit any pass.
It's
crazy to see him drop it right behind linebackers. All right, let's talk about the Bills defense.
Let's just assume Breeze is great.
Let's talk about the Bills. And I guess we got to start off with the front, you know, and people have talked about the sacks and not getting as many sacks. He's a quarterback who gets the ball out fast. Yeah. So how do you get to him this week?
Well, the fact that they're not giving up sacks, you got to find different ways to affect him. I mean, you got to be able to make him move somehow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to find ways to do that. But that's the same thing every team says when they line up against him. But we have a plan, and hopefully our plan will work. Sometimes the sack is not what's going to make the difference. Sometimes if you can just get him off his spot, make him have to move around and do something he doesn't want to do, which is – I mean, he'd like to be able to plant and throw, Well, we'd like for him to have to hitch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it'll be a combination of our coverage, doing a good job with our disguise package, and, you know, our defensive front being able to get a good push, you know, up the middle of the pocket.
Leslie Frazier, our guest, the Bills defensive coordinator. Let's put the Saints aside for a second. How do you feel about your pass rush in general? Not just sacks, but the pressure you've been able to generate so far, first eight games this year.
That's an area where we want to get a little bit better at. I mean, we want to be able to get our pressures up along with, you know, our sacks. And we're entering the second half of the season now, so that's one of our goals in the second half, to get better at maybe our four-man rush and even some of the things we do when we bring pressure, just to be able to, you know, create more pressure on the quarterback. It's in our league, if you don't do that, it creates a lot of problems for your pass defense.
You know, we talk about this on the show, and amateurs like me say, well, easy, just dial up more pressure, just send more blitzers. But can you talk about that? It doesn't seem it would be that simple.
Yeah, you gotta pick your spots. I mean, they get paid on the other side of the ball as well. Mm-hmm. So if you just become a pressure-oriented team, I mean, they got ways to handle that as well. So you just got to, you know, pick your spots and do a good job of mixing it up. And there are some ways to create some pressure. But at the same time, you like to find ways to, you know, get Jerry some one-on-ones and some of our other guys, Shaq Lawson, those guys up front, so that they can win those one-on-ones.
Last week against the Jets, one of the big issues, it appeared, was the tackling, you know, and not being able to tackle. Is that something you talked to the guys about this week?
Absolutely. And, you know, it was really uncharacteristic of us. You know, you look back through preseason, throughout the regular season, we haven't had that as an issue, but it was definitely an issue on that in that Thursday night game. It was – you know, our tackling was really bad for whatever reason. So it definitely has been a point of emphasis, and we expect to get back to tackling better this coming Sunday.
You know, and I said this, and maybe you believe this or not, no one wants to use it as a crutch, but playing Thursday after a Sunday, if there's one thing that may falter, it would seem to me, would be, you know, physical play, tackling, and maybe even focus on fundamentals like that. Do you see that as maybe one of the reasons for the letdown of the Jets game?
Potentially, but, you know, I don't want to make any excuses. Right. You know, everybody plays on Thursday nights. We gotta adapt to the fact that it's a Thursday night game. It's a short week, and we didn't do a good job of adapting. You know, I can do a better job of preparing our guys for a Thursday night game. And but anytime you play football, you got to tackle, and we didn't tackle.
You know, when you're up in the booth and you're calling plays and you're watching the game and you're like, everybody, you know, guys are just missing tackles. So you call down there like, hey, man, y'all better start tackling them. I'm putting you in the right position. Right. Y'all not making tackles.
Yeah. Well, I wish that would just turn it around like the genie in the bottle. But, you know, we worked on it today, actually. We had on pass today in practice. So hopefully it'll translate. We have a full week of practice. So, we definitely got to tackle these guys. They, as we mentioned, they've got good backs, good receivers, got a quarterback who's spot on, so we got to be able to tackle.
I want to ask you about Tre'Davious White, who's had big plays, spectacular plays in his first half season in the NFL. And then, you know, he's been beaten. All the cornerbacks will be beaten. He seems to take it very hard, though. And I noticed it after the Jets game and a couple of weeks before that at Cincinnati. I'm sure you're tuned into that. Do you talk to him about that at all? I mean, he can't beat himself up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we definitely talked to him about it, and playing a corner in the National Football League is going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
He's made so many big plays for us in this first half of the season. I mean, he surpassed, you know, everything we could have asked for in a rookie corner who's had to sometimes match up with some of the top receivers in our league.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to encourage him in that way. But he's a guy who has a lot of pride, which is part of why, you know, he's been as good as he has been. And it bothers him when someone catches the ball. But you got to have a short memory playing that position. You got to move on, and he's getting better at that.
How hard is it to really get that confidence in a rookie to face those the best receivers in the league week in and week out and not just say, you know what, he's a rookie. We're going to go ahead and put him on the number two receiver, put somebody else on the number one.
Well, when you watch the way he's practicing and you watch how he's performed in games and the way things haven't seemed too big for him, it helps you to gain confidence that he can handle this. And he's shown us, you know, week in and week out that he can. And he's really been a plus for us throughout the year.
Coach, it always strikes me right around this time every year how, you know, there have been eight games played and there have been ups and downs and a lot has gone on. And we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, a long way to go. Did you ever hit you like that? Like, man, we're only halfway finished here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, you know, when we came back on Monday in preparation for this ball game. And that's another whole season to go. We were at the midpoint. Mm-hmm. We're in a great position. I mean, if the season ended today, I think we'd be a playoff team. Yeah. So we're in a great spot. There are a lot of teams would love to be where we are. And you can't forget that. And that's what we tried to remind our players of. And it's one game at a time. You know, you got to keep working throughout November to set yourself up for December. And this is a huge game for us. Fortunately, we're at home, and we want to take advantage of our home field advantage.
Coach, thanks for this. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, Bills defense coordinator. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
Update from One Bills Drive. Practice has ended for the Bills today, this Thursday, and no work today for left tackle Cordy Glenn with his foot and ankle injury. No practice today for Zay Jones. We'll get the complete and official injury report a little bit later on today. Bills getting ready to play the New Orleans Saints, and they should be able to get Charles Clay back for that game. Clay's missed the last three games with his knee injury. No word on cornerback E.J. Gaines with his hamstring, whether he will be ready to go. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff at New Era Field on Sunday. Bills and the Saints. There is Thursday night football tonight in the NFL. The 5-3 Seattle Seahawks and the 4-4 Arizona Cardinals play out in Arizona today. Drew Stanton gets the start for the Cardinals. He's won four starts in a row. He threw for 201 yards and two touchdowns last week against San Francisco. Russell Wilson, who had a big game against Arizona last time they played, four touchdown passes and 350 yards. 8:25 kickoff at University of Phoenix Stadium. The Cardinals at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Green Bay Packers late yesterday released tight end Martellus Bennett, and they did it charging that he failed to disclose a medical condition. It sets up the Packers' case for a grievance to try to reclaim the $4.2 million in prorated signing bonus money that they gave to Martellus Bennett. Earlier today, the Indianapolis Colts released cornerback Vontae Davis. Davis went to seek a second medical opinion, and before he could do that, the Colts decided to release him after the last week. The Colts have to pay the remaining portion of his $9 million base salary. Houston Texans looking at quarterback T.J. Yates, who was in camp with the Bills as a possible starting quarterback. T.J.'s gotten some reps along with Tom Savage. Normally a backup quarterback taking first-team reps wouldn't be that noteworthy, but Tom Savage is on a short lease as the Texans try to find a way to get through without their starting cornerback. The Buffalo Sabres in action tomorrow night, coming off their win against Washington, their 3-1 win over Washington on Tuesday. Sabres home tomorrow night against the Florida Panthers at KeyBank Center. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. I think Coach Leslie Frazier is one of the most intelligent, thoughtful speakers we've ever had on this show, Donald. Love the way he thinks about it. And it's not as if, you know, we're not trying to throw him curveballs here, but it, you know, the stuff we ask, he's thought of already. You know, what are you going to do about Breeze? You know, obviously that's his job, but how are you going to get pressure, and what makes Breeze so good despite his short stature? I just like the way Leslie Frazier handles a lot of these questions.
He's had 10 days. Well, first of all, he's been coaching for a long time. He played in the league, and he's been coaching for a long time. So he's faced Drew Breeze in the past, I'm sure, you know, as a head coach and as a coordinator. And so, you know, he kind of knows how he plays the game. He's faced Sean Payton, I'm sure, so he knows some of the things that, you know, he's done in the past. And that's kind of what this league is, right? These coaches, they face all of the rest of the coaches throughout the league. They kind of have a book on what it is that they do. You know, their game plans and all of that stuff is really all about the matchups and the players on the field making the plays. But he's had 10 days to really look at this thing, you know, and so I'm sure he's thought about everything. All of the things that we think about, and you as fans, if you're out there listening, you know, coach has done that too. Like, all right, Drew Brees is having a Drew Brees type of year, so what can we do to slow down a Drew Brees, you know, and it's his job to actually come up with the plan. So I'm sure he's thought about every single matchup, you know. He's watched countless hours of film and thought about every single matchup and how do we match up against them. And he said it. Look, football is about matchups, you know, and which team, if you can match up with that team, you'll win that game. If you don't, you could be a team that's riding high like the Saints are right now, 6-2. But if the Bills come out ready to play and they play like, you know, we all want them to play and the Bills just have better matchups, the Bills will end up winning that game, and that's how football is.
I wonder, you know, I wouldn't get a chance to ask him. He had to go to work, but, you know, the fact that the takeaways dried up against the Jets last week and the fact that they were so heavily dependent on getting those takeaways in the five games prior to that, it's not as if that's luck. I'm not saying it's luck, but certainly he has to know more than any of us that, you know, sometimes you'll get them, sometimes you won't. His job is to solve that problem. How do we win without getting takeaways? I'm sure he spent a considerable amount of time over the last week or so trying to figure that out.
I mean, we just asked him about getting pressure, you know, he knows you get pressure. He wants to get pressure with his front four. He also knows you're not going to always get sacks, you know, and especially against a guy like Drew Brees because he's going to get the ball out. So he's thinking about, okay, how do I get pressure on Drew Brees? Well, now the turnovers have dried up, at least for one game. Now what do we do, you know? And so he's trying to figure out different ways not only to create the number one, to make sure that guys are lined up right. Number two, to make sure that they tackle, which was not good. Number three, to get turnovers and get pressure on Drew Brees. And so, yeah, it's a lot on his mind right now.
Sure.
It's a tough week. Week in and week out, you're facing the best of the best. But Drew Brees is elite.
Yeah.
You know, he's top three, top four quarterbacks in the league. And so, you know, now it's like, all right, we gotta put together a game plan that can really try to combat what it is that they're trying to do.
So get your brain power engaged on this game. And our Twitter poll deals with this. What's the best way for the Bills to try to handle the Saints this Sunday? What do you think it is? We've had it up on Twitter for a couple of hours. We got 1,700 votes in. More than half of you, 56% of you, say get those takeaways. Get back to taking the ball away. It is, you know, the simple solution. 56% of you say get takeaways. 34% of you think you should slow down Drew Brees. And you can do that on offense, too, by keeping him off the field and reducing his chances, reducing the number of possessions they get. 6% of you say try to match points with him, which is simple if you know, apply your head to it. But I don't know that that's realistic or feasible for this Buffalo Bills offense to try to put up points with the New Orleans Saints. 4% of you have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A call here, James in Buffalo. James, what do you think?
Hey, John.
What's up, man?
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yep.
Hey, listen, now I've been waiting for a minute to say this. Hear me out. Listen, we got Benjamin on one side, Matthews on the other side, Clay, Shady coming out the backfield, and Tyrod with some Zay Jones. We about to score 40. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Zay Jones, like that was a side order of Zay Jones.
I'll take a side order of Zay.
We'll take a main course, Kelvin Benjamin, Shady, the side order of Zay.
Most points they've scored, Oakland 34. They scored 30 against Tampa Bay, and you're calling them to put up 40 against
that would be, you know, great if they're able to put up 40 points. I will say this. Number one, the Saints defense is playing very good right now. All right, they're probably the biggest reason that this team has gone on this six-game winning streak, and they're 6-2 after starting out 0-2. Because that defense has turned around. And number two, when the Bills have put up those points against Oakland and Tampa Bay, you know, they've had a lot of turnovers to help that out, you know. So I don't want to doubt this offense, but I will say this. I don't know if this offense is a team that is just going to drive down and score points every single down like that. High, you know, they can go out and just put up 40 points a game. I don't know if that's this offense. We'll see if it is with Kelvin Benjamin, if that just changes everything and Charles Clay coming back. But that's something we got to see.
Let me say this, too. And, yeah, they're playing better. The two things about the Saints defense that strikes me as I dig in, watch a little video, look at. So they've won the last six. They've won the last three. Who have they beaten? They gave up 17 points to Green Bay. to Hundley. Right. They gave up 12 points to Chicago. Not a good team. Right. Not a great quarterback. And they've given up 10 points last week to Tampa Bay. So the defense is playing better. They're making plays. They're getting some special teams contributions, touchdowns on block punts, et cetera. That makes it look pretty good. And that's one point about the Saints, you know, caliber of their opposition. The other point is they remind me – no, they don't look like the Denver defense, but they're kind of set up like the Denver defense, Donald. A smaller defensive front flies around, makes big plays. Everybody loves Marshawn Lattimore. I do too. But there's no giants up front defensively for the New Orleans Saints. Cameron Jordan is their best defensive lineman. He's good. He's really good. He's long and makes plays coming off the edge. Manti Te'o, A.J. Klein, the inside linebackers, okay. Mm-hmm. They're okay. I know that Sean McDermott loves A.J. Klein. He had him in Carolina. But, you know, the back end, Vaccaro, rookie safety Marcus Williams. I don't think this defense is all that good. And they remind me a little bit of Denver because they're on the smaller side. What do you think of that?
Defense reminds me.
What do you think of that, Donald?
I wouldn't say Denver. I say Atlanta's defense.
Okay. I'll take that.
A smaller, fast defense that flies around and makes those plays. That's the kind of defense that Atlanta has. And remember, Brownie was really the first one to bring this up when we were facing Atlanta, how the defense is in the South, aside from Carolina, because they have some they have some beasts up front. Everybody else in the South has those small, fast type of defenses. They want guys flying around because of, you know, the quarterbacks that they're playing, the wide receivers that they're playing. This defense kind of reminds me of that Atlanta Falcons defense, small guys up front. You should be able to get the running game going, which they were able to somewhat get the running game going against Atlanta. And I think they should be able to do that. They should be able to lean on that running game, especially if they can get the ball to the weapons outside. You know, if they can get it to Charles Clay, if they can get it to Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Matthews on those under routes, let him catch it and go. It's going to back everybody up. Then all of a sudden, now what? They don't have true girth up front. Now let's just pound it down their throat.
And the competition matters. You know, they caught Jameis Winston. We saw Jameis Winston maybe one of his best days as a pro. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they, you know, he scored 10 points. Well, he left the game. He got hurt last week.
Yeah, he did.
Had to leave the game. Fitz replaced him. Chicago, they limited Chicago to 12 points with Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
You know, Hundley at Green Bay. I'm just saying. The Saints defense, to me, is nowhere near the caliber of threat as the New Orleans Saints offense.
Oh, yeah, their offense is.
And to go back to the caller a minute ago, I think he's right. The Bills have some new weapons and some returning weapons to offense, which, you know, I don't know what to expect. I expect good things, and it may even start this Sunday against the Saints.
Hey, we'll see. It's going to – obviously, it starts with the running game, Shady and Tyrod, and then it's on Tyrod to get that ball to those weapons. And if he does that – not only does it send a message to the Saints, it sends a message to the rest of the teams that you have to play coming up. You know, look, we have weapons all over the field.
I mean, let's boil it down to this. What's the number for the Buffalo offense? How many points? 27 get it done against the Saints?
If the defense plays like it was in the beginning of the season, then, 27 is a good number.
When you get to 30, and I know they scored 30 and 30, what? They had 34 against Oakland, right? 34 to 13. That's a lot to ask. And part of that is garbage time points. But if the Bills get 27, I think, first of all, it's probably the upper limit of what they can realistically do.
Yeah.
Secondly, can they hold them under 27?
That's the biggest question.
That's a question.
That's the question.
803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Mike in Angola, what do you think, Mike? Hello, are you there, Mike? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I had when you were talking to Leslie there, in the past, you know, the Bills have been pretty stout against the run. They gave up a lot of running yards.
Mm-hmm. Against the Jets.
Okay. Wondering what they're going to do to shore that up for this week.
Well, number one, I think they're going to tackle. You know, just get back to fundamentals. That's been what everybody's been talking about. Get back to fundamentals up front. You know, get violent with your hands up front. Get off the blocks and tackle. When you have an opportunity to tackle, you have to do that. Look, we want turnovers. But we don't want to see a running back running down the field for 50, 60 yards because you're trying to just punch the ball out, you know. So I'm sure that's what they're telling the players right now.
Thanks very much for your call. As we talk about the ways the Bills might be able to beat New Orleans, Tony calling from Missouri. Hi, Tony. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hey, John. You know, listening to the show all week and what you guys have had to say, I think you're right on in the point that Charles Clay is probably going to see limited reps as well as Kelvin Benjamin, but
utilizing those weapons when they are on the field really presents an opportunity to open up the run game. And if we can balance the defense into more of a united front, I think we'd be in good shape. And that's all. Excited to hear what you have to say.
Okay, thanks. Now, Brownie was talking about limited reps for Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, he was.
Why?
I'm
what
not
am
sure.
I missing?
Here's my thing.
What am I missing there? I don't
expect to see. They got Deontay Thompson in the game. He played some snaps in that game and had some big-time plays in that game, and he played in less than a week.
Yeah.
You know, he came in on Tuesday and played on Sunday and played a lot in that game. So Kelvin Benjamin now with, 12 days or something like that. When was he signed? Tuesday? Thursday? Wednesday? He was signed Tuesday.
No, traded for Tuesday, the 31st, yeah.
Right. He's had some time now to really learn enough to be able to get out there and play. So I think – I don't know how much of a pitch count we're talking about. I think
why
he
would he be
play.
In a pitch count? What am I missing?
What you should have done was went Chris Brown on him, like he did back when they brought
Anquan
in Anquan Boldin.
Which would just take me to what I was just thinking about. Somebody either tweeted or maybe mentioned on the show about how Kelvin Benjamin is essentially Anquan Boldin except better and younger and more effective than Anquan Boldin, right? Think now, not in a little bit in terms of style of play, but in what he might mean for the Buffalo offense.
Right.
Kelvin Benjamin walks in here as – this is why I don't understand why Brownie's talking about a pitch count. But he comes in here as the number one receiver and is expected and most likely will make plays for the Buffalo offense. And I think if you go back to that giddy day back at St. John Fisher, what was it, August 10th or something when they signed – what's that?
Coffee brownies.
Yeah, we're talking about Anquan Boldin. He does some similar things that Boldin might have done had he been interested in playing for the Bills.
He does do some similar things. He's not the fastest receiver.
Right.
He does catch a lot of slants and things like that. He's not a guy who's going to catch it and just, break loose and run for 60 yards. He is a guy, though, that can go down the field, jump up, and catch it.
More
over
so
people.
Than Boldin. Really,
Boldin, to me, was more of a slot receiver. Yeah. Like that is what he is. I think Kelvin Benjamin is, when you talk about his stature, he's more of a guy who can play in the slot and outside. He's more of a guy who you're not throwing. I guess you would throw a fade route every now and then to Anquan Boldin, but Kelvin Benjamin, you get down there by the end zone, it's like you got to give him at least one shot.
Yeah.
First and 10, first and goal, throw a fade ball to Kelvin Benjamin if you got the one-on-one.
Yeah.
If you don't, throw it up the seam to Charles Clay.
Yeah. Love
you
it.
Know? Because you can't double-team both of them. And if you're double-teaming both of them, you still got Shady. You still have Jordan Matthews. We'll see about Zay Jones. And you still got Tyrod, who can just run it in because all of those guys are covered. So it really just comes down to Tyrod Taylor and making those throws.
Here's a call from Noah in North Tonawanda, who has some thoughts on Kelvin Benjamin. Noah, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm a first-time caller.
Great.
I love the show. I just wanted to talk about the Saints defense. From what I know, they're ranked number 3 this year on allowing yards to wide receivers. So I just wondering what, not just Kelvin Benjamin, but our wideouts in general, what do we have to do in order to break the Saints defense and score some points? And a little side note, I personally think the show should be called the John and Don Show. I don't think Don gets enough credit. Thanks, guys, for the call.
Okay.
Thank you, Noah. It
doesn't really matter what Noah thinks. Do you feel that way, Donna?
I do feel that way, Murph. No, I'm just playing.
John and Don.
The John and Don Show. What was the first thing he said? He took my mind.
The Saints' pass defense. They're 4th in the league in pass defense right now. He talked about passes allowed to wide receivers, so they might be one of the best teams in that regard. They top 5 anyway.
What do they have to do to break that down? Run the ball. You got to run the ball. And if you're running the ball effectively, I'm telling you, everything else opens up. And now that you have Kelvin Benjamin, it's going to help you run the ball because they have to pay attention to him. Now that you have Charles Clay, you got to pay attention. You run the ball, you're going to get one-on-one matchups outside because they're going to be like, they're back to running the ball. We got to stack the box. Well, now let's go outside because you got 8 guys in the box and Kelvin Benjamin's outside one-on-one. Charles Clay, Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews, all of these guys are one-on-one. Now we can throw it up.
Hey, the challenge is there for the Buffalo defense as well, dealing with Drew Brees. And they've only given up 8 sacks so far this season, 8 sacks in 8 games. Lorenzo Alexander in the locker room this week talked to the media about trying to get pressure, trying to get sacks on Drew Brees and how difficult that might be.
I think they've given up 8 over the course of 8 games, so I think they're like number 1 as far as sacks given up. So
the biggest thing for us, and he's obviously overcome his height, you know, being such a great quarterback throughout his career, but, you know, getting your hands up, putting linemen back into his face, getting him off the spot where he has to step laterally, you know, mostly to all right, you know, against his throwing arm. Doing different things like that to kind of get him off his rhythm and off where his first read initially is definitely going to help us. And we can also help him on the back end with that, some of the disguises, holding things, getting our hands on receivers, being physical. And then that'll give our D-line an extra step or two to maybe get a sack or get a hit on him to really disrupt his play.
Lorenzo, you and Preston have both brought up his height right off the bat. How impressed are you, and what about him makes him so good when he's able to overcome something that is, you know, quite obviously something you can attack?
Well, I bring up his height, that's because of what everybody talks about, but obviously he's overcome it throughout his career. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's done a great job of learning how to look through seams that D-linemen create when they're not having great rush lanes, understanding where he wants to get the ball out very quickly, all those things that he's put in his toolbox to allow him to overcome, you know, his height. And he's been a great quarterback doing that.
Lorenzo Alexander, we'll hear more from him tomorrow on the Lowdown at 2 o'clock on tomorrow's show. When we had Leslie Frazier in here about a half hour ago, Donald, we asked him about getting pressure and if he thought about dialing up more pressure. He's not going to spill the beans here on our show, but I didn't get the sense that I wouldn't look for all-out blitzes, right?
No.
Did you get that sense from him?
No.
He talked about got to get pressure with four men. He talked about Jerry Hughes, kind of put the hat on Jerry Hughes.
Trying to do what you can do so that you can get one-on-ones with Jerry Hughes
and
Shaq.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yep. And that's the biggest thing. Once again, it's about matchups. So you're trying to force the Saints to have to double-team somebody else and leave him one-on-one. And Jerry, now you go to work. And if you get a one-on-one, you have to beat your one-on-one matchup and get to Drew Brees. At the end of the day, though, Drew Brees, the ball is coming out so fast, and he's so smart. He reads defenses so fast that if you're blitzing, somebody's going to be hot, and he's probably going to hit that person, you know, and it's going to be like, well, all right, we just blitzed, didn't get there, didn't even come close, and you got a receiver running down the field, you know. So you got to be smart, and you got to pick. That's why he said you got to pick and choose your battles when talking about blitzing.
The closer we get to this game, the more I look forward to it. You know what I mean?
It's a team matchup.
Yeah, it's a heck of a game, really. I don't know. Again, it's just a function of the Bills never play the Saints, so I don't feel like I have a real familiarity with them. But the closer we get to it and the matchups and the challenge presented by the Saints, especially by their offense, I can't wait for Sunday. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It should be a fun game. If the Bills are playing on the money and they're playing like they're supposed to, it should be a fun game to watch.
Yeah. You know what's going to be fun to watch and listen to? Donald Jones with his matchup breakdown coming up next as he takes a deep look at the Saints offense, what they do so well. That's coming up on the next segment. Come on back for that. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back. That's right. John Murphy, Donald Jones, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Bills off the practice field. As soon as we get that practice injury update, we'll update you on the status of Cordy Glenn on Thursday and on Zay Jones, neither of whom practiced yesterday, and we don't think they got much work today. All right, a Thursday segment we're going to start here today, midway through the season. Donald's matchup breakdown. I mean, if we would have thought of it.
You got to make adjustments.
Exactly. If we would have thought of it back in September, we would have done it then.
It's halftime. Halftime, you got to make adjustments. Yeah.
Donald's matchup breakdown, where he takes a deeper look at the opponents. And the New Orleans Saints have an awful lot to look at when it comes to offense, Donald, and most of it starts with Drew Brees.
It all starts with Drew Brees, and him being there so long, understanding what it is that they're trying to do. They do a lot of different things. They do a lot of unconventional things. But, you know, we're going to look at four plays here and talk about four plays here and really just break it down to see what it is that they do and how their offense truly gets going and really how they set up other plays. You know, that's the biggest thing that Sean Payton is good at doing. He runs plays to set up other plays all throughout the game. And he'll, so the first play that we're going to think about here is it was last week versus Tampa Bay. And one of the best things that they do is they do a lot of heavy, heavy run action, right? So because they're able to run the ball this year effectively, they do a lot of play action, run, but hard play action. Now, on this first play that I'm talking about, they're inside the 40. And typically when you get inside the 40, that's when offensive coordinators will dial up go routes, you know. And, you know, the first play that we're thinking about is first and 10, and that's pretty much what they're going to do. But it's not a go route. They're going to run something else. So what they do is they go heavy run action, you know, going this way. And Drew Brees does it as good as anybody. He fakes the toss, and then what he's really good at is he'll fake a toss, and he gets his eyes back around on the safeties as quick as anybody, and he can read that defense. And on this first play that we're thinking about here, all he's reading is the two safeties back deep, right? And mainly one safety. If the one safety goes one way, turns his back one way, then he's going to go to the other receiver. If he turns his back and comes this way, he's going to go. So you have two receivers going down the field threatening really one safety, and he's reading that one safety. And he does it as well as anybody in the game. And what you had on this first play was you had the safety turn his back and go with one receiver, and you had a one-on-one matchup right there. And I think that one-on-one was to Ted Ginn. And Ted Ginn just does a very good job of outrunning that safety. Drew Brees gets him the ball.
Ted Ginn still got the speed, doesn't he, to fly downfield?
Ted Ginn, yeah, still got the speed to fly down the field. He is as fast as anybody in this game today. And the Bills have to watch out for Ted Ginn, yeah. You know, and you can't just let him run free, because if you do, it's going to be a long day for these DBs and safeties.
And you mentioned how Drew Brees sets up so quickly and gets his eyes, you know, set so quickly, and that enables them to take shots downfield, right?
I mean, right.
It's not as if they're dinking and dunking. It's not a West Coast offense. They're taking shots downfield.
They're taking shots down the field. Now, you know, I talked about the hard run action. I talked about how they set up plays throughout the game, right? And so the second play that we're going to talk about, it's another hard play action. It's a hard run action. This time, he actually threw the ball to Michael Thomas. Same game, later in the game, he threw the ball to Michael Thomas. You still, like, you know, past the 40 now, you're still in that go type of territory, and you still had two receivers threatening the safeties, but it was a little wrinkle on this play where you had one receiver run a deep over route. The Bills actually run these plays as well, but Drew Brees has done very good job over the years of a hard play action and getting deep in his drop. And that's because he's shorter. He needs to get deep in his drop that he can see over people. You get that hard play action, you get him on like a seven-step drop, and then you get those receivers threatening the safeties, and he's reading the safety just to figure out, okay, as the free safety, the guy who's in the middle of the field, where does he go? If the free safety drops back, then I'm going to go with the over route. If the free safety comes up and jumps that over route, he's going to go deep to the receiver that's going deep. And once again, he gets his eyes turned around, and what does he do? That safety goes deep. He hits that receiver, Michael Thomas, now on the over route. And that's like a 25, 30-yard game right there.
I'll take that. Anybody would take that.
Anybody would take it.
You're getting a lot of great work from their third-round draft pick, the rookie from Tennessee, Alvin Kamara, who, as we mentioned with Leslie Frazier, is not just a really good running back, but he's a major factor in their passing game too.
Yeah, and Coach Leslie Frazier talked about how he not only catches balls out of the backfield, he'll line up in the slot. He'll line up out wide. And so, you know, they ran a play against the Chicago Bears where he actually lined up in the slot, and he ran a wheel route. And so you had the outside receiver run like a post, and he ran a wheel route behind it, and he was matched up, I believe, I can't tell if it was a nickel corner or if it was a linebacker that he was matched up on, but he's fast enough to run by, you know, and Drew Brees does a very good job of finding him and getting him the ball, and this is really where he's dangerous, you know. When he runs out of the slot, he can run any route. He can run options. He can run wheel routes. But if he gets matched up on a linebacker, he's going to outrun the linebacker, and Drew Brees is going to drop that ball in there. And it's hard for a linebacker to stay with him.
You know, it's Brees, and it's also Sean Payton, isn't it, Donald? I mean, this is an offense under Payton that found a way to really best utilize Reggie Bush. He had his best years there. You know, they got a lot out of Darren Sproles when people thought Sproles was done. And now he's got a rookie to work with, Alvin Kamara, who does some similar things.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I think they've been trying to find somebody to – because Reggie Bush was good at it. Darren Sproles was good at it. And they have been trying to find somebody to replace him, you know. And I know Kamara, one of the better things that he did coming out of college was catching the ball, but I don't think that they thought he would come along this soon.
Yeah.
Even though he's a high pick, they didn't think he would come along so fast. But when you have a quarterback who's putting the ball right in your face, it's hard to hard to drop it or anything like that. But I think, you know, as we think about this fourth play and we talk about how they set up different plays, it's not just in one game. Very good offensive coordinators set up plays in one game to set up a play for the next game, you know. So they'll line them up in the slot in 1 week a lot, right? And they'll just throw the ball to him out of the slot, do a bunch of different things, and all of a sudden, or you'll motion him from the slot to the backfield, and that sets something up for the next week. The last play, once again, he lines up in the slot quite often, all right. And when you have a running back who can line up in the slot, you can do a lot of different things with him. You can motion him around. You can motion him in jet sweep type of action. You can run option routes. You can run him in a seam. You can run wheel routes. I mean, when you have a dynamic running back, LeSean McCoy can do all of this stuff as well. Sure. You see the Bills use him sometimes in this type of way. But on this play that we're thinking about right now, he actually motions in a jet sweep type of action, right? And so we also talk about the Saints screen game, and this is really just another iteration of their screen game. And what they did was they motioned him in a jet sweep, so you don't know if they're going to hand the ball off to him or just throw it to him coming out, you know, the other side of that thing. You don't know what they're going to do. Well, what they did was they actually ended up with that jet sweep motion. They actually ended up just going with the shovel pass, you know, and pitch it to him right there. And, you know, he did the rest, and he did a good job of taking that ball all the way in.
Pretty impressive, and a lot of it is Drew Brees, obviously. A lot of it is Sean Payton, and now they have a brand-new guy to work in there, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, you know, Sean Payton is a very good offensive mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has the players. He has the quarterback, number one, that can throw it all around the field. Now he has two running backs that can do different things. He has Ted Ginn, who is blazing fast. Michael Thomas is fast as well. So when you have all of those weapons, all you got to do is like, man, this is what's up right here. You know, I can dial up all types of things. And that's what he's doing. He's just dialing up a bunch of different things and putting, you know, his playmakers in the best positions to make plays. Drew Brees is getting them the ball, and they're making plays for him.
That's Donald's matchup breakdown. We'll do that every Thursday leading into the game, taking a deeper look at the Bills' opponents on Sunday. We're going to take a break, come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What have we learned from Antoine Smith? He's going to be the leader of the charge Sunday, the former Bills running back, former Bills first-round draft pick. And he talked about how he played in the Music City Miracle game, that bitter loss the Bills suffered in the wildcard playoff game. And Antoine told us he thinks a lot about what might have been if not for the Music City Miracle.
I said it to myself. A lot of guys felt it like going into that game. Like, the one out of this game is going to the Super Bowl. So I think that year, I think, you know, you had an 11-5 team, I think, what? Or were they 12-4? We was 11-5 playing in the wild card.
Yeah.
You know? And we had to go there. And, you know, that team had the number one defense that year. I mean, that team was a good team. That team was a good team. It was, and everybody stuck together. You just, you know, it didn't fall for us.
Antoine Smith will be waving the flag, the leader of the charge Sunday, as the Bills come out onto the field. Also on the show today, Leslie Frazier, Bills defense coordinator. He knows it. He's got his hands full going up against Drew Brees and the Saints quarterback this weekend.
He's outstanding. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer for sure. You know, one of the top three or four quarterbacks to play the game. And seems like he's getting better as he ages. And they've, you know, surrounded him with more weapons this season. Their defense is playing better. So he's having a terrific year, which is in some ways it's no surprise because of the way his career has gone. But, you know, you'd much rather watch him against other people than watch him against your team.
Sure.
So
he's
pretty good.
He's pretty good. No question about that.
Pretty good.
What about the Twitter poll? We started the day by asking our listeners and followers on Twitter what's the best way for the Bills to handle the Saints on Sunday. Well, most of you think the key is to get takeaways, which they feasted on for about a five-week period. 56% of you say that's the best way for the Bills to handle the Saints, get takeaways. 34% say try to slow down Drew Brees, who we just talked about. 6% say try to match points with him, try to go point for point with him. 4% have something else in mind. I'd say get takeaways, but you can't just it's not takeout service. You can't just call it up and say, hey, can I get an order of 3 takeaways, please, this Sunday? Right, and they deliver them to your door. It doesn't happen that easily.
Takeaways are fun to see, yeah. And they truly do help out your team. And we know this team wins when they take the ball away. But you can't just take that to the bank and think that's going to happen every week. You know, you got to be able to just win games, just beat teams without taking
it away.
Straight up, yep. Can you beat teams? We'll see if that can happen this week. I think they got to run the ball.
Yeah, and that goes to keeping Drew Brees off the field and slowing him down a little bit. It's a part of it. We got today's show, pretty good show, really good show.
I think so.
Tomorrow, even better. I'll say it right now. You know, Mark Kelso is going to join us tomorrow at 12:30. Greg Cosell makes his regular Friday visit from ESPN's NFL matchup. Deuce McAllister, does that name mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Former Saints running back, now the color analyst.
I was about to say he does color.
Yeah, he's the radio guy for them. The Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander coming up tomorrow.
We don't have Major Andy Major.
Oh, we forgot about that. He's not on the list. We should get him. If we have time, we'll work him in tomorrow. Andy Major talking about the home game. All of that coming up on the show tomorrow. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.